Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show for Men, produced by the Married Men's Club, formerly known as Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and we also have a show for the women in your lives. Our women's show features three male moderators and runs tonight at the exact same time, and their topic for tonight is What a Man Wants. Wow. That should be interesting. You can get more info on either show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Again, that website is householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in this live weekly talk show by calling in or logging on to blogtalkradio.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So if you're a man, please dial 347-308-8112. Again, that number again, 347-308-8112. So call in and let your voice be heard on the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics. This show is apolitical so that we can make sure any man feels comfortable. Furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to be able to just come to our show as a man, and that's it. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is, what is the color of love? Dating outside of your race. And this topic was actually suggested by one of our regular listeners. Man, you know, y'all may not know, but he goes by the name of
R-A-W.
Now, with this topic, fellas, I'm going to ask y'all to stay away from stereotypes and speak from your personal experiences only. Again, no stereotypes, just speak from your personal experiences only. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. Now, I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion by 11 p.m. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's fine too. And I do still have this. It's a little slow working tonight. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy, fellas. And I'm predicting that it's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. That sound is just you put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. But But please try to hang on until the 10:45 time frame, because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. So if you have to leave the show before that time, feel free to tune back in any time between 10:45 and 11 p.m. All right, with all of that said, welcome, brothers. Welcome, welcome. Let's get started. First question of the evening, what is race? In your own words, define race, if you can. Simple question, what is race? Nobody knows what race is. I can't believe that. Okay.
I'll just keep it basic. It's color.
Okay. All right. Good words, brother. Good words, brother. Anybody want to expound on that? Race. What is race? In your own words?
Classification.
Classification. Okay. All right. Y'all getting close. Y'all getting close. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. I'll go ahead and expound on it then. Race is a group of persons related by common descent or heredity. It's also an arbitrary classification of modern humans, sometimes based on any or combination of various characteristics such as skin color, facial form, or eye shape. A group of tribes or peoples forming an ethnic stock. Any people united by common history, language, culture, traits, etc. A group or class of persons. And some synonyms for race are tribe, clan, family, stock, line, and breed. And race, people, and nation are terms for a large body of persons who may be thought of as a unit because of common characteristics. And in the traditional biological and anthropological systems of classification, race refers to a group of persons who share genetically transmitted traits as skin color, hair texture, and eye shape or color. For example, the black race, the white race. But in certain broader, less technical senses, race is sometimes used interchangeably with people. And people refers to a body of persons united usually by common interests, ideals, or cultures, but sometimes also by a common history, language, or ethnic character. And, for example, the American people. All right, next question I want to ask y'all, but I want y'all to listen to this real quick before I ask my question. Or white. How many different races are there? How many different races are there, fellas? Do we know? Anybody want to take a guess? How many different races are there?
15. 15?
Yeah. Too high.
8.
8. Still too
5.
High. 5, still too high.
4.
Actually, only 3.
3, black, white, Asian. What about Hispanic?
Yeah, you're exactly right, brother. It's 3 traditional divisions of humankind, and that's Caucasoid or Caucasian, Mongoloid or Mongolian, and Negroid, Negro, and it's characterized by distinctive and universal physical characteristics. So there's only 3 races. But as we get in, you know, as I like to frame it up, you know, get what we're talking about, you know, when it comes to dating outside of your race. But let me ask y'all this. Is the hang-up about dating outside of your race or about dating outside of your culture? And what I mean by that is that, for example, is it okay for a black man to date a white woman as long as she acts black? And that's what I'm trying to get the cultural aspect. What do y'all think of that?
No.
No.
Okay. Explain.
Because I would have to say...
Go ahead. Well, see, where I'm from, what they'll call people like that, they'll call them wiggers.
Okay. I've heard that.
You know, the thing about it also with that is I think it's even more offensive for a person that's white to act black. If there's even such a thing as acting black or acting white, I think it's all based off of where you grow up and the things surrounding you and your culture and your immediate surroundings. But for an individual to be white, he used to date them, and let's say they come from, I don't know, a lily white suburb or whatever, then just be yourself. You know, I'm going to like you for you, and I think you'll get more respect from another race, another culture, if you just are yourself rather than trying to seemingly assimilate or fit in or try to be the so-called acting black, but you're white.
Okay. All right. Good words. Good words. Anybody else hang up about dating outside of your race or culture? Fellow mentioned wiggers is a term. Heard that before.
I got a question, though. Is that term... you know, kind of safe to say we were talking about growing up in an environment. So if you actually grew up in a neighborhood and you were the only white person on the street, but you actually grew up around black people, you know, and the culture is, you know, just hanging out with black people, that's how you grew up. I mean, is that a good term to call somebody as a wigger? I mean, if that's what they grew up around.
No. That's not a good question. That's not a good term. I understand that's a good question, too. Now, when I said wigger, what they said is a wigger is a white person that trying to act black. Now, I understand where I come from. Ain't too many white people living where I grew up at. All these white people come there is if you're the police or you're a bill collector. That's the truth. But no, that was a good question. That raised some thought for me. Now, sometimes you can become a product of your environment. And when, if you're around that, that's all you know. So it's not your fault that you wouldn't know, like you said, growing up in a suburban area or like not in the inner city around amongst a bunch of black people. So that is a good question. That's something, you know, that's something to think about for me.
That's kind of a reason why I actually said that is because, you know.
You can only do one thing at a time. Just always remember that.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No, I didn't say anything.
I think he was talking offline. Go ahead, brother.
My thing is that, you know, I'm in charge of about 25 people. And, you know, I have some people who actually, you know, run with that stereotype of a, you know, person coming in, a white guy coming in or a white girl coming in and thinking that they act black. And I had to get with somebody before, like, what do you mean act black? You know, to me, when you say acting black, to me, that's just sort of a state of mind for me. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is we still have to deal with those people out there that look at us, look at our clothing on the outside, look at our skin color on the outside, and ultimately think we're supposed to act black. So my question is, you know, what is acting black?
Well, what I mean by that, and I'm going to help define it since I said the wigger. Like, you rarely see, for black people, when your hair braided, that goes to our history and our ancestors. Now,
right.
you see a lot of white people, they want their hair braided. I even seen them with dreadlocks, and you see them with big gold bodacious earrings. That's most common amongst black people that I've grown around. Now, I've seen I rarely see too many white people with gaudy stuff like braids in their hair, and those are the ones that we'll call wiggers, big gold earrings in the ear like the black girls do. Like, we design our own fashion state. We got our own, like, sense of fashion. And I see a lot of them try to emulate our style of fashion. And so that's where we go and say wigger. Like, you know, when we look at white people, just like I'm going to flip the script. When you look at Kanye West with a plaid shirt on and Russell Simmons, we say, oh, that's the preppy look. And when they say that's the preppy look, what most people we categorize as preps are white people. We didn't categorize black people as preppy people, like Farnsworth Bentley. When he had his own style, that was catered. We looked at him like, oh, he's dressing like a white boy, like a nerdy white boy. But that was my definition of a wigger. Not saying, and they want to talk slang, our old Ebonics and all that stuff. So that's why I said wigger. But I don't define as far as acting black. What I mean by acting black is like emulating a lot of our styles and fashion and the way we do things as a culture.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Good words, fellas. Anybody else? Got a lot of callers on the line. Go ahead and jump in there if you will. questions. If not, we'll move this thing right along. The next question I want to ask is, and I want to ask it in two parts. When you see someone of your race dating outside of their race, honestly, what's your first reaction? When you see someone of your race dating outside of their race, what's your first reaction?
I think it depends. Is it based off of, is it a man or a woman? So if you know, being black myself, if it's a black man and he's with a white woman or an Asian woman or whatever, my thing is, as long as you're happy, do you. But as my mother would say, if you're going to get one at least that the white boys want too. Don't get one that they don't want.
You know what? That was the best thing I heard all day. I'm telling you, cause boy, we can find them when we find them, boy. I tell you. Boy, I said, God, boy, they got to be ugly, fat. I said, man, if you're going to get one that they want. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to steal that one.
It is. But I mean, honestly, I think what it does is it comes down to you just got to be happy. Now, I will say that it does kind of still do something to me when I see black women with white men. That's still a little rough. But I think, you know, ultimately when you get a chance to meet the people, if you have if they're in a work environment or work setting or, you know, through another family member or something, you get a chance to actually see them interact, you can dispel a lot of those first instincts that you initially have. But I will say, you know, just to see it off the bat, it's a little bit rough when it's a black woman and a white male.
Can I piggyback? Only problem I have with that, I agree with you 100%. Now, when I see a black woman, when I see a black man with a white woman, I still see the black man still keeps true to his identity as being an African-American. But majority of the time, when I see the black woman with the white man, she seems to me, like loses her identity. I guess she's more, like, uppity.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that.
I mean, she's more uppity. I mean, like, a guy like me, like, I can see a brother with a white girl, he can just be just a cool, just an ordinary brother. Now, when I see a black girl with a white man, she's like, you don't even want to speak to her because you know that if you speak to her, just out of general being polite, that she wouldn't even acknowledge you to me, that she thinks she's better than, like, she's superior than, you know.
But brother, doesn't that actually go back to us being stereotypical of another individual? Now, you may never know that person's history. You never know. She could have grew up in the suburbs. That's all she could have grew up around.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That she couldn't. You know, you don't. If you see that person, you don't know that person, but you see that person and you start to feel a certain type of way. To me, that's stereotyping at its fullest. You know, because
but,
you don't know. You don't know that person is uppity or high class, or high maintenance, or in a sense like that. You know what I'm saying? My thing is like, okay, if the black man can actually, if we can see a black man with a, you know, with a white woman and say, okay, we'll do you, I don't understand how come it's so much different from that, from a black woman being with a white man or Asian man or whatever. You see what I'm saying? It's crushing our pride in a sense. You know,
well,
you never know it.
I don't care. Like you said, I'm with you. If you love somebody, I don't care what your nationality is. But stay true to yourself. And true, they could have grew up in the suburbs, but my percentage level that I've ran into, I guarantee you 90% of them haven't grown up in the suburbs, but it's the majority of them, than less than, that acts that way. I see more the black women than when I see them with a white man, the majority of them, which made me form my opinion, that's the way they act. Now, true is always the exception to the rule. Now, I agree that maybe some might. Now, we'll give them a few, but when you got majority, the ones I've seen, and I've been around a lot of places, the majority that I've seen act that particular way. So I haven't seen too many, no sisters from the hood with a white boy that's, you know, I don't know.
And honestly, I mean, a lot of people, you know, that I know, you know, kind of had that same opinion that you do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And most of the people that I run into, you know, black females who are dating, you know, the white guy or whatever, they're actually dating the white guy who we talked about earlier, that he's kind of, you know what I mean, grew up around that black culture, listens to rap music, you know what I mean, kind of wears his coat. You know what I'm saying? That's
right,
where I see a lot of black women actually gravitate towards, You know what I'm saying? If they're going to date a white guy, that's what they gravitate towards is the ones that, you know, have been around the black culture for you know, predominantly most of their life.
Like the white dude from Barbershop.
Right.
Right. He had that bad sister getting out the car.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. I only talk about my experiences, and I done had one too.
I mean, to answer your question, you know, that you originally put out there, you know, it is wild how it's set up, because initially when you see a brother with like a white girl or any other race, you're just like, hey, you know, hey, as long as she bad, you really don't care.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. You're just like, wow, you're doing your thing. But don't get one that they don't want. And it's just like, wait a minute. But then the other side of it is, you know, when you see a sister with somebody outside of the black race, it does. It grapples with you for a second until,
right.
Like I said, you get a chance to maybe know them if it's a common circle from like a workplace or
right.
a family member or somebody like that. You can actually say, all right, well, okay, you know, that's my fault. I actually was stereotyping and putting people in boxes before I even got a chance to know them. But
exactly.
I think that just bound to happen. I mean, you look at it in some aspects and you can't help but just relate back to like everything that's been ingrained with us from our history and whatnot, from how our women have been raped and pillaged and all these different things, and you just start saying to yourself, wow, is somebody really going to pay attention to her needs and the needs of our culture and race and all these different things like a brother could?
Right.
But once you get a chance to know and you learn about the individuals, you may definitely fall back and say, you know what, okay. And that's unfortunate that you almost got to be like doing a little CSI, a little investigation, a little Perry Mason to try to see if this person is legit. You know, but that's sometimes it's just the way it is. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and I want to ask the second part of my two-part question, but are y'all hearing, like, the voices come through muffled, or is it just...
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but, you know, we'll keep moving on, but it seems like it's coming through on all the lines, so if you are on a Bluetooth or speaker or something, maybe that's what it is, or Vonage or something, I don't know what it is, but it may be the actual software. But let me just move on and ask the second part of my question, because the first part, I'll go back, I'll repeat it, and the first part of my question was, when you see someone of your race dating outside of their race, what's your reaction? Now, my second part is, when you see someone not of your race, you know, what's your first reaction then? So you see, you know, someone... You know, I think y'all got into a little bit, but is it a different reaction, you know?
I mean, can you clarify a little more? I don't understand what you mean. Somebody outside of my race, like...
Yeah.
So, like, if it's like an Asian woman dating a white man.
Exactly.
Oh, I really
exactly.
can care less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, to be honest, I don't really care. Just like, yeah, okay.
I that's rare, but I could care less with that. Because as far as I'm concerned, they and I don't want to be biased and put in a box, but they both white to me. To me. They both white to me. Their pigmentation is close alike, so go ahead on. Do you. You know what I mean? That's
okay.
Where I see.
Good word. Anybody else? Someone not of your race? Dating outside the race? So is it because we have a consensus? You know, that's basically like, yeah, do you, whatever.
Well, another thing, too, is you say to yourself, you know, I don't really care, but you then start to say to yourself, you think about the times that maybe you tried to maybe talk to somebody that was Asian or Indian or something like that, and they might not give you specifically the time of day because you are black, but they'll
right.
give it to somebody else of their other, who's white, not their race, but
right.
they'll do that, and you say to yourself, wow, you know, anybody but black. And actually, in conversations with some of those individuals, that, you know, they basically said with their parents and the way they were brought up and their culture and whatnot, like, it pretty much is that. Anybody but black.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate. So I guess that's what you would say. Because, I mean, there have been times, I think back when I was in school, I tried to date this Indian girl. And we were cool. We would do our thing, but it never went any further than us just doing our thing because it wouldn't have flown with the parents.
No,
you know, and then I think back
missing.
To high school,
she'd have brought
Asian
you home,
girl.
She would have came up missing.
Exactly. Then I think back to high school, girls the same. We were cool, but it was like, I wouldn't fly because of the parents. So it's like anything but black. So when you see other cultures out there, other races out there dating, and you see this, you're like, oh, I don't really care. But at the same time, for me personally, it kind of jazzed me just a little bit. Because I'm like, wow, anything but black.
Yeah. I think I'd be more inquisitive to say, now, what did he just say it that I couldn't have said for him to get her that I couldn't get her?
He didn't say nothing.
Right. I would have a problem. It wouldn't be for me. Well, I'm married, but if I was a single man, even being married, I would look at it as like a more of a, like, I'm a little jealous. How the heck he done got this fine Italian girl? And I knew darn well if I said something to her, I wouldn't got the time of day.
Well, check it. I mean, y'all are just driving right down where I want to take this next question. Do some men stay outside of their race specifically so they can show the woman off as a showpiece or a trophy? You know, you look at them, they got a little smirk on their face like, yeah, I got one of yours, you know.
Yeah,
y'all get a sense of that?
I'm not married, but just from I recall when I was working for a company a couple of years ago. This girl was telling me she used to hang out with a number of white guys, and you know they would say, you know, of course most of them were accustomed to dating, you know, white women, but apparently, you know, she said one of them, you know, lucked up or whatever and got with a black chick, and all of them were just like, what? Oh, my God, yo, you are the man, son. How you pull that out, man? Let us know.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, because of that, you know, I kind of fell into the stigmatism as, you know, a lot of times, you know, Caucasian men, you know, going after black women as just kind of like their trophy, you know what I mean? As, you know, kind of like they prize peace, and you know that's kind of shallow minded, and you know I've grown out of that, you know, so to speak, over the years. But no, it's definitely a realization that you know some people do it. I mean, it goes both ways. You know, I was calling you the other day, Ronnie, about MTV. I remember brother on the show. He said, you know, he only dates white women now. He only gets a white woman now because that's his payback for what his ancestors went through in slavery. So, no, that's definitely the case.
But you know what? I think in all honesty, like a lot of people probably, I don't know. Like, I don't think people really look at it like that. To like, oh, you know, I got one of yours. You know, really what you're thinking about is, for most men specifically, is I'm just looking for the baddest chick out here. It doesn't even matter. I think ultimately, like, that's why I think most people in general, like, when we think about, like, society and you know, just the overall global perspective, I think that's where most men are in general, you know. And it's just like, you know, you just want somebody, because that's how we are. I mean, with guys, the first thing you're going to do is you look at looks.
Yeah.
You just say to yourself, wow, she's bad. And then you're going to try to talk, you're going to try to say some things, and then you go from there. It's not so much like, yeah, I'm gonna walk in this bar and I'm gonna get some one that's not like me so that I can show them that I'm doing it. No, you're not even thinking about that.
Nope. You're like, she's bad. She could be bad broke, but you look at, she's bad.
Good words. I want to move it along, good chat, fellas. But you know, let me ask y'all this: what do your parents think about the subject dating outside of your race?
Well, I can tell you, growing up, you know, it was always said, don't bring that other color to the house.
Yeah, I remember my father, literally, it was maybe about a few weeks before I went off to college. And, you know, we're eating dinner and everything, sitting at a dinner table. And, you know, he literally looked at me. He was like, you know, don't be bringing no white girl home. I was like, you know, I almost choked on my food. I'm like, well, how did that come up in conversation? But, you know, I was like, whoa, Dad, you just got on out there, huh? Like, I'm serious. Don't you be bringing a white girl home. But, you know, I got a story for that later on. But I mean, literally, what about y'all? I mean, what did or what do your parents think about the subject?
Yeah, I know personally for me growing up.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. My bad.
No, you okay.
No,
go ahead.
Yeah, you good. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, personally for me, growing up, the one thing that my mom never really came out and said anything about don't bring this home, don't bring that home. It was more about just you got to be careful, and you have to be cognizant of
the choices that you make and what that could bring on in your direction, meaning if you go out somewhere, you do things because other people might not be as open-minded as you. And I think that was her way of kind of dancing around it without coming out and specifically saying, don't bring Asian home, don't bring Indian home, don't bring white home. You know, it was more of just be aware because everyone's not going to be as open-minded as you will be.
Okay, good words. Anybody else? Parents. What's your parents,
think
about this subject? Go ahead, bro.
I was going to say, nah, my parents were and still are to this day a lot more direct than that. You know, it was more so on the lines of, look, dude, don't do it. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of, you know, of the way they were raised. My mom from, you know, Montgomery, Alabama. My father from North Carolina. You know, and what they went through, and kind of what they were taught. So, you know, to this very day, heck, my fiance is light skinned, and you know, I even caught a little bit of hype from my mom, and she's not the darkest skinned, you know, person in the world. But, you know, I mean, it's definitely a frame of mind that, you know, I think a lot of folks from that generation, you know, specifically my parents, you know, still have. You know, so it's sad, and you know, I definitely don't agree with it, but. Now, to this day, you know, I mean, they certainly would not be comfortable with me bringing a woman outside of my race, specifically a Caucasian woman, home.
And you know what's kind of funny about that is the further south you go,
yep,
the more evident that is.
Yep.
And I believe a lot of that goes with the region where you are. You know,
yep.
I'm over here in Delaware, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, my kids are mixed race. My kids are biracial. And you go to the school where they're at, and I'm going to tell you half the kids in the school are of a mixed race.
Mm-hmm.
So the further south you go, the more evident that it is that the people that grew up down in that era still frown upon mixed race relationships.
I agree with you 100%.
And, you know, talking about what my mom think and what my family thought and everything, I grew up with Rodney. And, you know, in Virginia where we went to school and everything, you know, back then, you know, back in the middle school and getting into high school, you know, talking about, you know, how dark a person was a joke of the day. And I remember, you know, even the black girls at school just thought I was darker than the average dark person and would never, ever give me the time of day. They would much rather talk about me rather than, you know, talk to me. And, you know, I moved from the shore up to Delaware, and the whole region, like, everything just changed. It was much different up here than it was down there. And, you know, that's, to me, that's how I grew up. And it's been that way for me ever since.
Right.
You know,
and
like
I agree with you. I agree with you. Excuse me for cutting you off. Cause
no, you go ahead.
North. I'm in Philly. So it's the same way. It's not a big deal up here. You know what I mean? Like, as far as my parents concerned, even though their history is from Virginia, but because they've been in the city so long, it's not, like you said, the further south. Now,
mm-hmm.
I lived in South Florida for a long time. That is like taboo. And I don't know. You might get yourself something.
Well, hey, if y'all think it's like that in Philly and Delaware, come on all the way up to the top of the map in Minnesota.
Woo.
Man, oh, man. When I'm from Virginia as well. When I came up here, I mean, I knew you had Prince, but goodness gracious, there's Prince walking around everywhere. I mean, it is the biracial just mecca. I mean, it is out of control. When I first got here, I couldn't believe people walking down the street, skipping, holding hands, kissing all in public, all types of stuff. And everywhere you go,
mm-hmm.
it's just biracial couples.
Yeah.
And when I say biracial, I'm not talking, you know, because this is the thing. I think when we try to say biracial, you know, let's just keep it, I mean, the honest truth is, when you... Being in the States, in America, when you think of biracial, when you think about mixed interracial dating, you think in black and white. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is.
Right.
You think in black and white, and that's what it is up here. I mean, it's out of control. It was almost to the point that I kind of felt like I was a slave that had broke free and was like, do y'all know what's going on? When I got up here, and I oh, no, this is, you better watch out for NASA see you. You know, that's kind of how I felt. I mean, because it is literally everywhere up here. But it is one of those things where you're right. The South, and especially when you're dealing with older black people from the South, they're not letting that go.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I want to ask this question. You know, do y'all think times have changed about dating outside of your race?
I believe that they have changed a lot, but it's still that number of people. It's still that region of people who will never, ever change from their opinion of it. It has changed a lot. It's definitely changed a lot, you know, now that we have, you know, Barack Obama as president. It's definitely changed a lot. But I'm going to tell you, you know, past that Mason-Dixon line, it is still the same culture for those people. You know, it's still going to be the same. No matter if we go another 400 years, 500 years down the line, I'm telling you, it's never going to change for the people from the South if that's how they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you don't fit yourself. And then you got to look at the culture of America now. I mean, you have a lot of military. You have a lot of people who are immigrants that come in. You have the desegregation, so there's a lot of different schools out there. It's not just rich folks. Poor folks, there's a middle class where there's a lot of mixture in the middle class. So you have a lot of mixtures in better schools.
And I think also the media is doing a significant job of promoting this. I mean, you look at TV shows now, there's all type of interracial couples on TV. You got commercials where, I mean, the new one right now is the Dentine commercial, whatever, the black dude with the afro is kissing the white girl with the blonde hair and stuff. And I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. And it's one of those things where I think the younger kids now, they're really about just, you know what, I'm just going to like who I like. Who has the same interest, who has, you know, the same intellectual capacity in some senses with me. And that's pretty much it. You know, and it's almost like now, if someone grows up in your immediate surroundings or your environment, meaning your neighborhood, goes to your school, is in your class, is on a team, is on an intramural league or whatever, and you have something in common, that's more profound than the color of your skin.
Good words. Good words. I want to go back to, you know, we talked about the parents, but, you know, what about the possibility of being disowned by extended family members? What about that whole aspect?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they don't count. After mom and dad, they don't count. They don't count. I mean, they have an opinion, all right, but they don't weigh nothing in my life.
I've been fortunate enough to actually, everybody in my family, extended family, what have you, everybody absolutely adores my wife. You know, my wife, she's German. And I, you know, it's one of those things that I never had. My mom's never had an issue with it. My mom knew I never got in trouble in school or anything. She just never had a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that, I mean, I'm blessed enough to have a family being so accepting. And 70% of my family is from North Carolina. It's from the South. And for them to be, you know, so accepting, you know, of my wife, I've been blessed in that aspect. And my wife, I'm going to tell you, she is actually the only Caucasian at the family reunion. So imagine how, you know, how outside she feels. But, man, she fits right in. She fits right in. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, many interracial couples experience, you know, discrimination, ridicule.
Oh, Lord.
You know, and sometimes even from their own family. And some, you know, interracial couples experience difficulties with their children when they have different skin tones of different shades from the parents, you know, or the siblings. You know, as the brother talked about, he has a black woman, but she's just a little too light-skinned. You know, she gets he gets a little bit of flack from his parents just for, you know, the fact that she's a little, you know, she's borderline, you know, as far as his parents were concerned. But, you know, do y'all think that it's easier for men to date outside of their race or women to date outside of their race?
I think it's easier for women because I know from my experience, I've dated a white girl in the early 80s. And, I mean, I met her from Spokane, Washington. And I lived in the inner city, in the hood, in the projects with a white girl. And you know when you got a bunch of ghetto sisters, they told me I ain't had no soul. I mean, and I ain't had one of them ugly ones they didn't want. I had a great
right.
soul. They told me I ain't had no soul, because now she bad on top of that. They told me I ain't had no soul and what was wrong with me. And then from the other aspect, I had the brothers thought I was a pimp because she was white. They thought I was a pimp, and that's real talk. They thought I was pimping her. Because that was rare. It's where I come from, a black man with a white woman.
Does
but the sisters,
wanna... Go ahead.
But the sisters felt threatened. The sisters felt threatened. They said I had no soul.
Yeah, I just want to throw that question out there again because I think you might get some disagreement on that. Is it easier for men to date outside of the race or for women?
I think it's actually easier for men. Because I think most people, like I said, expect men to just chase women, period. It doesn't really, I mean, and I think when it comes down to the most basic fact of it all, I think society on a whole expects, and I think that's one of the things also, because right now, you know, we haven't had this topic, I don't know if we ever touched on it or whatnot, but the whole thing, you know, again, thinking about older members of families and stuff like that, you know, particularly, and I speak specifically to the black community, you know what, hey, as long as he's talking to a woman and not no man, okay. You know, and we'll make it work. We might have jokes for him and little things like that, but we'll make it work because that's actually a little bit, and that's why I think it's probably more so accepted for a man to do it because what will end up happening is, you know, people just peg it off as, oh, you know, this might be a phase or he's just out there sowing his wild oats or he's just doing this, that, and the other. You know, it doesn't really become real until you start really talking about bringing somebody home or thinking about getting engaged or, you know, settling down, having a life, or you might be bringing a baby into the world or something like that. That's what it might get. But I think initially it's like, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, most people don't really take you seriously. I mean, they just say, oh, okay, he's just doing his thing. You know, he's out there and handling, and that's, there it is. But for women, I think it's something else because then you start thinking about, again, this is somebody's daughter. This is the perception that they are being perceived as in their inner circle. So if it's Asian or white or Indian or whatever, I mean, this is somebody's daughter. So then they have to make sure that they look or perceived a certain way within their particular inner circle of friends, family, and whatnot. So for that Indian girl or that Asian girl or that white girl to bring home somebody that's not of their race or culture, when a lot of times within these other cultures, their ties are strong. I mean, they have some strong family ties. You do not buck the system. You do not buck the norm. I don't know so much about, you know, in the white race, but I know in Asian and definitely in Indian, you do not go against the grain because you will get disowned and you will be banished. I mean, I'm using words that are strong. I'm talking throwback words. Banished from, you know, definitely a family and whatnot. So I think it's a little bit harder for women.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was just speaking just to be joking with me. But I agree. Because you're messing that bloodline up. You're messing that pure bloodline up.
Yeah,
that's like,
yeah.
That's like, far they're concerned, that's like taking a purebred, mixing it with a mutt.
Yeah.
That's the way they look at it. That's taking
but,
a purebred and mixing it with a mutt. You messing that bloodline up.
There's an absolute truth, though, to what you were saying as far as it being harder for men because women are more outspoken than men. You know,
right.
Women will let you hear what you're doing wrong.
Right.
You're not going to see, you know, you won't see most brothers go up to a black girl and be like, yeah, you know this is not right.
Yeah.
You go and you walking in the mall, you walking with, you know, with your white girl and everything, a black girl is quick to either give you the eye,
yep.
come directly up to you,
yep.
and tell you that she's feeling rejected. She's feeling some kind of way. And it's almost like, you know, they're quick to say, well, you must couldn't handle, you know, you must couldn't handle our color, so you just copped out.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I believe that it's, you know, ultimately hard for, you know, a black man, a black man in general, just to say, you know what I mean, to date outside of race just for that aspect alone. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to feel like, you know, hey, I couldn't date inside my race, so I just had to go find somebody, you know, who made me feel good that wasn't inside my race. But they are quick to tell you. I've had it happen to me before.
Yep.
You know, not even knowing this person. I'm not even from New York, but I was in New York when I was in the military. I had a person come up to me and to the woman who was with me and actually say that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually say that. You know,
like
got to do it. got into a few choice words after that because I felt bad for the female that was with me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I could care less about her. So I felt bad for the female. I mean, she, you know what I mean? It was disrespectful in a sense. Because after that, I'm still to this day never seen this woman ever again. But for you, you know, for her to have the audacity to come up, you know what I'm saying? It's, yeah, it's real hard. It's real hard.
All right. Good chat, fellas. I want to move this thing along. In his autobiography, Bad As I Want to Be, Dennis Rodman made it clear that he began dating outside of his race because black women rejected him before he made a name for himself. If y'all remember, Rodman once dated pop superstar Madonna. Yeah, who hasn't? But Rodman wrote in his autobiography, and I quote, "Black women didn't accept me when I was younger. I wasn't attractive. I didn't have money or fancy clothes. I wasn't whatever it was they wanted. Now, though, I'm okay. Now that I have money, some fame, the story has changed," end quote. So some of those same black women who wouldn't talk to him years ago are now all up on it. You know, what do y'all think about Robin's things?
I agree. I'll go back to what the gentleman said earlier about the environment. See, he was adopted, too, by white folks. So,
yep.
So, therefore, he had in the back of his mind, he probably already had an attraction for them. But he probably tried to holler at a few sisters, but Rodman ain't the, you know, I don't judge him, but, you know.
That's not a good example,
I mean,
huh?
He's a little out there. So him dating Madonna, that's like a fit. They had something in common, like the other gentleman said. You know, they a little out there, too, because she was a little promiscuous, too, in her day. She would scoop him up and take him and do him and drop him back off. So he fit into that circle. He's a freak. So she's a freak, he's a freak.
Just like I was saying earlier, I fell into that. You know, I fell into that same what, you know, just in that quote. You know, I wasn't accepted, you know, back then. You know, growing up like that, after that, all I had was basketball until I moved to Delaware. It was a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Back home, you know, I was crispy. You know, I was black. I was smoke. I was midnight. I was all those names.
Mm.
You know, and that was by black people.
You said midnight. Yeah, I remember the jokes we used to make. It was called 11:59. It wasn't about you, but you know, he'd say, "Hey, that's 11:59 coming." I was like, 11:59. Yeah, almost black as midnight. But that wasn't about the bottle. But one black guy was recently quoted as saying, and I quote: "Black women think it's a racial thing, but it's a personality thing. Women of other races don't bombard you with questions about what you do, how much money you make, or where you live. They're just a friend." Why do y'all think that is?
Can I comment on that? I've been married for 16 years, me and my wife 21 years. I've dated a white girl. Now, I agree with that conversation now as far as the white people. Caucasian women. I didn't want to say white, Caucasian women. They don't bombard you with all them questions. They're more, I think, to me, this is my opinion, more subservient than black women.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm happily married. Wife, I love you wherever you at. But listen, it's less drama to me. To me, they less drama. It's less drama to me. That's just my own personal opinion. And I can go by my experience. I've been married. I tell my wife, fix me something. If it's 11 o'clock, she tell me, "Boy, you better go down there and get your own self something." Listen, I had a white girl, I tell her, fix me something. She go downstairs in the kitchen, fix me a four-course meal. I ain't going to tell you no lie.
But ask the question again. Pose the question again.
Yeah.
I said, why do y'all think that is? That, you know, black women think it's a racial thing, but it's a personality thing. Women of other races don't bombard you with questions about what you do, how much money you make, or where you live. They're just a friend. Why do you think that is? That was the question.
Man, I don't know. I think that's a $69 question. I mean, I don't know. If somebody gets the answer to that, write the book, write a movie on that one, they're going to be paid. But it's legitimately one of these things where you just say to yourself, I'm going to take a different angle with it. Being a black male, you kind of always feel like you have to be prepared. You have to be, a step ahead. You have to be thinking 15 moves ahead. The game is not checkers, it's chess. That's the mindset that you have to have. But you have that with society. You don't necessarily have that with some aspects of, you know, people within your own race, and definitely not black women.
But I think sometimes when it comes to black women, it's like I think ultimately, you know, because of some of the ways that we as black men have maybe interacted with them, you know, and not us personally. You know, I'm talking about fathers, grandfathers, and people of that caliber, you know, down the lineage line with regards to who we are and who we become, some of this stuff gets passed on. So you have these women that are growing up in situations where they're coming maybe from a single-parent home, or they're coming from a situation where, you know, they've had to be essentially maybe the, an additional parent in the household, because even though dad was there, dad was doing whatever he wanted to do, so she, you know, she maybe was the oldest and had to step up and do some different things. So I'm not, I don't know if it's, bitterness might be the wrong word, but they definitely have this idea of the fact that, you know what, I'm going to need somebody who's going to come to the table and do just as much, and I'm going to ask questions, and I'm not going to be walked over by the world, let alone you. You aren't going to do that to me either. And I've heard enough stories from my aunts, my cousins, my sisters, my mom, and all these other people that, you know what, even though it may not have happened to me, I'm going to be a little bit weary. So my weariness translates into me asking you more questions, wanting to know where you're going, wanting to know this, that, and the other, maybe being a little bit more argumentative with things, maybe wanting to take a dialogue a little bit further into, like, maybe a disagreement. I mean, it just, there's a lot of things to factor into it. And the reason why I guess I'm saying that with regards to the stuff being passed down from generation to generation, because I've had this conversation with a couple of my cousins. I don't have any, I'm an only child, so I don't have any sisters or anything, but I had a couple conversations with a couple of my cousins. And this is what they pretty much said, because, and then when I think about it, it adds up. Because most of my cousins who, you know, are, you know, the siblings of, not siblings, who are the children of my aunt, well, all of the women are married. And they come from divorce homes. They've been abused by previous husbands or multiple previous husbands. So they were single, they were having kids at 17 or 18. Their ambitions and goals don't extend past the Eastern Shore of Virginia.
Yeah, but let me break in there and ask you this. So, you know, do you think that when it comes to race, some women seem to have more baggage, generally speaking?
And you know what, Rod? I agree. I like that question, but I could piggyback that same answer he just gave for that last question can also apply for this question as well. Because of the history. Because of the history, that's why the baggage, because of the history. Sometimes what they might call, we call it generational curse. It's passed down. This is what they see, this is what they experience, and that's why when they come, they already all come with the baggage. And that question he just answered can apply for that one too, I believe.
Yeah, I think you got to look at their childhood. I mean, they have no head of household.
Yep.
And, you know, what they say, 70% of black children, for example, live in single-parent homes.
Yep.
You know, the majority, you know, with the mother. And, you know, I mean, how many of y'all, you know, your daughters grew up or are growing up, you know, with that type of living arrangement? You know, turbulence, fellas, turbulence. I want to, it's a few minutes before 10 o'clock, and I want to drop this. What you're about to hear is audio from a portion of National Geographic special on the new Black Panthers that's been in the national news for the past 3 weeks. I have to give a quick disclaimer because this audio is very, very provocative. Please be aware that this audio may offend you, but offense is not my intent in playing this. Here we go.
Samir will use any opportunity to shout his message, even at a festival celebrating African heritage.
We didn't come out here to play today. There's too much serious business going on in the black community to be out here sliding through South Street with white, dirty, cracker whore on our arm, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. What the hell is wrong with you, black man? You had a doom day with a white girl on your damn arm. We keep begging white people for freedom. No wonder we're not free. Your enemy cannot make you free, fool.
Okay, that was Minister King Samir Shabazz, the leader of the new Black Panther Party in Philly, And now that's not the end of the clip, but I played just the part that was relevant to our discussion tonight. And I apologize because I could not find audio to contrast that on the other side, the same situation. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think everybody should have an open mind. And I think rather or not, like he said, a Doom Day, because I've been to a Doom Day, and I'm from Philly, that I think that everybody can be exposed to different cultures. You know, me and my wife was having a conversation with my daughter about something. Anything you learn that you didn't know, you learned something. Like if you take, like Jews, I don't work with Jews. A lot of things, like gefilte fish. I didn't know what gefilte fish was. I didn't even know how the Jews prayed until I worked with Jews, and I learned something about their culture to understand the reason for things. But like I say, knowledge is probably, even if you brought a white girl to a Doom Day, it's just to enlighten them on your culture. Like if I went to, anywhere, like a Italian festival, I would go to an Italian festival. I'm open-minded. Now, as far as that, that's racist as far as saying because it's a Doom Day that you can bring a black person in. I don't know. I don't see the problem with that. But I don't have a problem with it. I think you learn. That's how you learn. You expose people to your culture. Because if you don't enlighten them to your culture, they're going to always stereotype your culture. Because it's more than black people than just robbing, killing, selling drugs, and making babies and not being there with their daddies. I mean, they babies, you know. So if you lighten people into your world, then they can understand where you're coming from, and they get a better perception of you as a person. That's my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that getting to, you know, listening to that clip and everything, I often feel, you know, and even just from listening to that clip, I mean, I hear it at work. And I feel like this. How have we progressed if we're still living, you know, in the past? You know, our forefathers, you know, our great-great-grandparents. Our great-grandparents that taught us things and gave us knowledge and things like that to try to move forward. It's not to say, okay, you shouldn't interact with other races, but you have to do something to better yourself. You have to do something to actually change the mind of other people and how other people may think about you. And that's one reason why, you know, I kind of persevered in getting my education and getting my degree, you know what I mean, to settle the stereotype. And, you know, to listen to that clip, you know what I mean, it's like, where's the progression at? You know what I mean? You're trying to, you know, integrate and live as a people, but where's the progression for us? We got to progress, because if we still have that much anger, you know, then how much progression have we made?
Yep. To that. And I'm kind of glad that you couldn't find the rest of that clip, because that was kind of annoying. And I don't think that there's a place in society for anybody like that, black New Age, Black Panther, whatever you want to call it. They need to find the Lord, first of all.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Because when you got that much venom and that much hate in you,
you sound just like the Klan.
Yeah, he sounded like the Klan. He sure did.
I mean, for real. I mean, if I didn't know,
he honestly sounded worse.
Right. You're right. And I agree. And that was it.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. You're absolutely right.
I want to get into that.
Go ahead,
bro. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, this is a very important. I mean, as of today, I mean, we just today at work, I was talking to a young lady who's on my team who just moved down here from West Virginia. And is moving to D.C., been down here 4 months, and we're in the process of moving from, I guess you could say, a good area in D.C. to New York Avenue, which they're trying to rebuild New York Avenue and build it up. But she's been told, you know, since she's been here, that this move, that is dangerous over there. This is a dangerous part of town. And if you know D.C., I mean, D.C., New York Avenue, Florida Avenue, it's majority, is predominantly the black part of town. And, you know, I was trying to combine, just tell her that, listen, it's built up, you know, what they're saying is not true. If you go anywhere, there's going to be crime. doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah.
Now, you got to understand that it's what you make it.
Yeah.
And with relationships with other cultures, it's what you make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, right.
If you go with that perception and you go with that stereotype, then you're setting yourself up to put yourself in this hole that's going to be very hard to get out of, because it's the old thing, like, you get in the elevator with the white lady, she's going to clench her purse. For no reason at all. Don't know me for anything, but she'll just clench her purse just because of that stereotype.
What I was gonna say with regard to the clip, I'm happy you played it. I wish you could have played more of it, because I mean, honestly, that's a mentality. I think it's a sad mentality. It needs to be known that a lot of people have it. I mean, all races and creeds. You know, I mean, one person might think they're inferior to the next, but you know, I just think it. You know, it really goes deeper. You know, when people try to say that, hey, we have progressed so far. No, we really haven't. I mean, that brother feels that way. He feels that way for a reason, because that's the way he's been taught, and that, you know, because of some of the things that he continues to see in his community. It's very sad, and it's extremely dangerous, but I think it's something that we all need to be aware. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that we need to make our kids aware of, so that, you know what I mean, we don't grow up, our kids don't grow up having the same hate in his heart that poor guy does. I mean, I feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for him.
Good words. You're right.
Go ahead.
You're right.
Go ahead.
It is dangerous. But we got to go back to when we were growing up, and there were those groups called the 5%ers, and they were the black Muslims, and they were talking hate. They were using words like blue-eyed devil, and a lot of us jumped on the bandwagon. You know what I mean? We listened to all this, all people just like that, because we were taught to be mad. I don't want my kids to go through that. I don't want my kids to go through what I went through before I had to figure out that all that stuff was dumb and stupid. You know what I'm saying?
And
so,
the blue-eyed devil term right there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's actually used in a week at where I work at.
Wow.
And the gentleman that's actually using that is in his 50s. And, you know, for me to, you know, for my colleagues and everything, for my fellow, you know, team leaders and everything, you know, me being the only black one, you know what I'm saying? I sit back and I listen to this all the time, and all you hear is the hate. All you hear is the hate. You know what I mean? When that phrase comes out of his mouth, I don't even know what to say to him. I just look at him and I'm like, you know, when are you gonna feel that they are not out to get you? You are employed here. You are a member here. You're a team member here. But to continually to use that phrase and to use that term, I just look at him and I just, like you said, I feel sorry for him, because I don't feel that way. And people that stand around you and say those things want you to join the bandwagon.
Yep.
They want you to join in to how they feel. And I can't do that because, like you said, my kids are black and white. I can't feel that way. You feel what I'm saying? So,
I want to
touch, you know, really, you know, dig deeper here and, you know, just touch on, you know, something the brother said. You know, why are black men considered sellouts if they date outside their race? And, you know, I want to thank y'all. I don't know if y'all know about Ocho Cinco.
Oh, yeah, I'm
Gary
Comet on that ride.
Yeah.
I saw he was on Monique or Wendy Williams. Monique or Wendy Williams show.
Yeah.
And
let me tell him about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him about it because, you know, if y'all don't know who Ocho Cinco is, y'all need to get the NFL package like Patrice. But, I mean, the NFL wide receiver Ocho Cinco has this reality dating show, and it's called Ultimate Catch. And I frankly think it should be called Deadliest Catch. Some of y'all will get that tomorrow. But, you know, you know, because the one he catch, you know, if he's on IR, injured reserve, you know, y'all know why, messing around with them reality show chicks. But anyway, you know, the blogs ate him alive for his so-called embargo against having black women on his show, you know, to date him. And, you know, as the brother said, this guy, you know, Wendy Williams, Monique asked him, go ahead, brother, you know, speak on it. What they asking him about?
Well, they asked him why he only had 3 blacks on the show and all whites.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect his comment, and it goes back to what the gentleman said about a skin tone. Now, what he did clarify, he said, I dated black women. He got kids by black women. So apparently that didn't work for him. I did have a problem. In a way, I do kind of have a problem when they get money and they go to the white lady. the white woman, but I respect it. He said, if he never had dated a black woman, I would have had a problem with that. But he said, I've dated them, I have kids, Mom, but that's his preference. And you have to respect that's his preference.
That's some the word,
people,
brother. Preference.
And that's
you
his
said
preference.
A mouthful.
I look at people, and they're not to switch the subject, I'm like, man, she's a fat girl, but then that's that old phrase, big girls need love, too. So I got an uncle that won't date nobody unless they're a buck 90 or better. That's his thing. That's his twist. That's what floats his boat, to each his own. Hold on. Go ahead.
Anybody else? Why do y'all think that, you know, black men are considered sellouts if they date outside of their race?
Just like I said earlier, man.
Because, I mean, essentially, I think what it comes down to, because we're not on the same playing field, or we haven't put ourselves on the same playing field, or, you know, for lack of, you look at, you know what I mean, at society and, you know, what the average, you know, what you feel when you see an African-American person. We're quote-unquote still in the struggle. So for an African-American to date outside his race, people see it as, hey, you know, you can find, you know, a sister, somebody within your own race, you mean, that you can uplift and, you know, provide a family for. No, you're deciding to take the quote-unquote easy way out, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's like the expression, hey, because you can't beat them, or because you can't be as good as them, you go and you join them. So as an African-American man, you're a sellout, so to speak, because it's like you're taking yourself out of the struggle, which you're supposed to be in with your people, and, you know what I mean, you're going and you're dating other races.
It almost feels like you don't even know. They make you feel like you don't even know your own history.
Yeah, exactly.
When you get called a sellout, I even been called, you know, house Negro because of this.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just one of those things, man. And I always, like I said, I'm blessed with the family I got. And but now my kids get to know two cultures. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that, you know, I've dealt with it, you know, and I grin and bear it. I'm a better person of it. You know what I'm saying? But it's still alive and well, man. It's still going to be there.
Good words. But, I want to ask this, you know, can a white woman really be a black man's soulmate? Don't answer that. That was a joke. That was a bad joke. Some of y'all get that tomorrow.
Boy, he's stupid. Boy.
I'm kidding, brother. But let's talk briefly on environment. Y'all had mentioned that. You know, does environment and upbringing play a big part in influencing who a person will or will not date? I mean, you look at private versus public school, suburban versus urban, military brat, college. You know, does environment, you know, really, you know, play a big part?
I'm going to speak for me. I don't think so. Why I say that? Because I come from North Philadelphia in the projects, oldest child, and that's a little city in itself if you live in the projects. That's a whole nother community in itself. And I went to a white school, only one in my neighborhood went to a white school, dated a white woman. I just think it's a part of the way you was brought up, far as your parents. If you was brought up with morals and values, and my mom was open minded, and I thank God for that. See, sometimes what we got to do is think outside the box. This ain't 1946. This is 2010. So I don't think, just like it for me, a lot of my friends are thieves, hustlers, murderers, some of them cops. It depends on what you want out of life. And if you want more, you're going to strive for more. And I don't believe your environment has it. And I ain't no white girls in my neighborhood for miles. I'm talking miles, maybe another county or something. But I ain't had no effect on my decision. That's just me.
No. But I think the flip side of that, though, is being like maybe a African American or a person of color living in an environment where it is, very diverse. Your environment will shape your ability to be able to think outside the box and maybe go a little bit further. Because here's the thing, your environment sometimes has a stronger hold on you than those morals and values and things that you so-called may have or been instilled in you. I mean, I think back to when I was in school, you know, growing up where I grew up in Richmond.
you know, and it wasn't necessarily the greatest area. There wasn't a lot of white folks or whatever, but the school was diverse. So my opportunity and the classes that I was in, I was like in like the AP classes and the honors classes and whatnot. So I may be one of two people of color all together. It might be me and an Asian guy in the class together. But all the rest of the kids in the class are white. So all the people that were in my class with me, all the people that were on the athletic teams with me or whatever, majority of them, they were white. So this opportunity for my environment actually shaped that. And what I mean by the environment playing more of a role is because it's like, okay, my mother was very open-minded and saying, you know what, if you're going to do this, you definitely need to be understanding and cautious of other, you know, others' viewpoints. But my environment sometimes with my friends that I, you know, that were black in the school and stuff, I couldn't bring this white girl with these Asian girls around me. Oh my goodness! I commend suicide. I mean, because at the school I was at, you know, yeah, I was in the classes, but I had some really good friends and all these people that they were just like seriously black through and through. We hung out on the wall together in between periods. So if this white girl or this Asian girl would come and try to talk to me, man, they would give it to me probably worse than anybody. So I say on the flip side is sometimes your environment can really affect the decisions that you make, because you may be the type of person that says, you know what, my home life or my mindset, I'm very open-minded. I'm going to go ahead and talk to, you know, Amber, who sits in row three, you know, and, you know, we in the study group together. But you know what? I can't bring Amber around the hallway. I can't do that. So I think your environment sometimes does factor into it.
Yeah, I think about it. It does play some part. That is true.
Yeah, because I mean, like, what if, for example, you know, there are only a few women of your race in your field of employment. You know, you may have met your wife, you know, through where you work. You know, or I mean, or most of the women where you work are not of your race. Anybody got any feedback on that? Well, am I speaking the truth or what? I mean, it may be only a handful of women, you know, around, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think you're hitting it dead on. I mean, it really, your environment really shapes a lot of what you're able to, because then you just find out what you like. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like if you're an engineer and you're out in Oregon somewhere at some engineer firm or whatever, and there's not any sisters out there, but you're out there because it's a great opportunity. It's going to definitely afford you a lifestyle that you're aspiring to achieve and all these things. And there's no sisters out there. I mean, you may definitely try to find out in the town where the black people at, where the black people hang or whatever, but your immediate environment and the things that shape you and definitely factor into your decision are going to be the people that are there, are going to be the people that are in your neighborhood, are going to be the people that are in whatever league, softball team you're part of, for recreational sports or at the gym. I mean, that's all that's going to happen, and you're going to basically base it around things that you have in common, things that are interests, things that are of value to you and of importance, aspirations, goals. And I think sometimes that's another thing that gets overlooked. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're black or not. If you're not aspiring to do something, if you're not going somewhere, I don't have time for you.
Speak the truth.
And I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a black man. It doesn't matter if you're a black woman. You could be my black uncle. If you're not doing anything and you're not going anywhere and you're just spinning your wheels in a circle talking about the struggle or whatever, this, that, and the other, but you're not doing anything to help yourself or more importantly, better others around you, I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be a woman. It might just not be that. Now, I'm not saying she's not out there, but I'm just saying that in my immediate surrounding, my environment, my area code, my state, my whatever it is, my county or my city, I might not have found that person. And here's the thing. I'm not going to pass up good people that have the same values, morals, aspirations, goals, all these things, to just say, there's got to be a black one out there for me. I'll pass. Come on, I mean, what?
Good words, brother. Let me keep this thing moving. Y'all listen to this. What about people who only date outside of their race. What do y'all think about them? I think the brother just alluded to that. What do y'all think about people who only date outside of their race? Flip it around. Only date outside of their race.
What if your preference is outside your race?
Yeah.
And I think you got to ask, how did they get to that? Because they didn't get to that off the top. Something happened.
What happened with Ocho Cinco?
He got tired of paying child support to the sisters, because soon as he did that, he done went to the white people. He clarified, he said, I dated, he got kids by black women. So apparently something transpired in that said, that ain't working for me. Let me go try something different. Sometimes change is good.
You know what? You already said it. You already said the $64 million answer. Preference.
Yep.
Preference,
yeah.
preference to your boo in the face, preference. Sometimes you got preference. If you prefer a white woman, if you prefer a Latino, if you prefer black, it is what it is. There's some white men out there that only prefer black women.
Robert De Niro.
That's what they prefer. And they're not saying I'm not going to date within my race. When they see this woman, that's what attracts
them. They attract it to them. Yep.
Right.
Exactly. You can't get around the power of attraction.
Right.
Yeah. Can we just say no lied open that girl and did something to that man and now he just can't leave that coach?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I think Devon wanted to get in there. Devon, you still want to say something, brother? Hold on.
I was just gonna say, you know, being that we're on this call and everything, and truth of the matter is, when I left the shore in ninth grade, you figure you don't really have no girlfriend, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade or whatever. I've actually never dated a black female. And
wow.
You just said
since you left the shore or since before you left the shore?
This is, like I said, I don't really call girlfriends, you know what I mean? You just get into your own 6th, 7th, 8th grade. You know what I mean? I knew black females. I like black females and everything like that. But like I said, I've been, you know, degraded to the fullest as, you know, growing up and everything. So when I got to Delaware, you know, the white girls who are the ones that approached me. The white girls are the ones that showed me the time of day.
That is. You can't be mad at it. I mean, again, it goes back to what you're supposed to do. I'll pass.
It's not even a thought. Because the person is hating, that's exactly what they're doing. They're hating because they can't get down.
Mm.
It is.
The ones that are telling you, oh, you dating outside your, yeah, you would too, but you don't have the opportunity, or whatever
right.
the case may be.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
I have no problem saying, because, you know, I'm not going to claim to be somebody who just, you know, doesn't kind of squint his eyes a little bit when I see people who say, hey, I'm only black men, or I'm only dating white women, I'm only dating a woman like this, because, no, I mean, I just have to say, I have no problem with somebody who has preference. Say, you know what, if you're just attracted to, you know, I mean, this particular physical feature, more power to you. That's your preference. My issue is when people try to make generalizations and say, you know what, I refuse to date black women because all black women talk too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do have an issue with people who have that type of frame of mind where, hey, you know what, I'm only going to date a, you know, white women because all white women are like this. No, not all women are all like that. Not all black women are, you know, I like the way you're describing them. So I think that's, honestly, I think that's a dangerous frame of mind, and that's a mentality that also shouldn't be spread. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you have a physical attraction, more power to you. But, you know what I mean, when you're of the mentality that you're putting an entire group into an entire class, is like you say, Rodney, if you're thinking the same, you're probably thinking the wrong. If everybody's thinking the same, somebody's thinking wrong. So
that's right. That's my motto. But I want to talk a little bit about what Whoopi Goldberg said about this. Whoopi Goldberg, Lord forgive me for the joke I was about to make. Whoopi Goldberg once set the record straight when she explained to Newsweek why she dates outside of a race. And she says, I quote, I've dated black men, but a woman with power is a problem for any man, but particularly a black man, because it's hard for them to get power, end quote.
Say that again, Rod.
She said, I've dated black men, but a woman with power is a problem for any man, but particularly a black man, because it's hard for them to get power, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah,
but that's some garbage, too. That's some garbage, too, because as long as she's been powerful, trust me, there's been 10 black men that's been powerful to her one. So there's been powerful black men at that point, too. So that's a cop-out.
Listen, I think Whoopi felt like my man felt. Nobody wouldn't talk to her because Whoopi ain't,
exactly.
Whoopi ain't too much to look at the eyes either. So, no, you know what I mean? So she might, you know, like, you know.
Color purple.
So you know,
oh, man.
That's why, like you said, we get the ones that they don't want, and the average. I mean, we look at when we look at Whoopi. We don't look at it as attractive. We look at dollars. We say, she got money. I'm going to date her for her money. I ain't dating her because she's bad. I'm dating her because she got some money to help me get out this struggle. So, you know. But for
Let me ask y'all this. I'll probably get some mixed reaction from this. But in your opinion, which race has the most beautiful women?
Oh, man.
Okay.
You really want to know?
But remember, he pointed out there was only three races.
That's correct.
Make sure you get it right, because I was about to go there too. I'm about to just start naming stuff, but remember, there's only three.
What are the races?
Could you point out the races again, please?
I will.
Point out the races again.
Caucasoid or Caucasian, Mongoloid or Mongolian, and Negroid, Negro.
Which is the one in the middle again?
Mongoloid. That's Asians, Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Keep it moving.
I think
Hispanics
all
Hispanics on the
Mongoloid.
What are Italian women?
Wait a minute. Remember, the only
Hispanic. Yeah. Hey.
I'll say Brazilian.
Hey. Can I ask a question? And I think it's appropriate. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Can a black man and a white woman, or vice versa, have a beautiful child?
Yes.
Yes.
Cause,
yes.
Because that's the question.
Yes.
That's pretty much. I honestly believe that when a black person and a white person get
they
together,
they make the most
beautiful children in the world.
Right. Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. Can I throw something else out to this, though? Because this is where I'm at with it. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything.
Mm-hmm.
When it seems like I'm trying to figure out how to pose this and not be offensive. They might have beautiful children, but those kids are messed up.
Oh, my God, bro. That's so freaking funny.
Biracial kids.
Be effed up.
Hey, they're on some... And here's the thing. She's beautiful. Oh, he's got pretty hair and blah, blah, blah. You know how we do it, particularly as black people. We've been really caught up on looks. So, oh, my goodness. But those kids?
They have some emotional issues.
And especially...
That goes back to when I said when you take a purebred and you mix it with a mutt.
But especially when you have a white woman and a black man... And them kids grow up?
I've got to say this. I actually saw a story today, that two black people had a baby, blonde hair, white with blue eyes.
What? Two black people?
Two black people. And I'm serious, you know, they did the genetics, and it is literally, and if y'all seen me, they're as dark as me, you know. And I'm about 10-15, I guess. I ain't that close to midnight. But, I mean, literally, there's two people, and they have two older children, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, that look that are the same hue and the same, you know. I just, y'all Google it after the show, but it's interesting. You see the pictures, it's like, what? How'd that happen? But they said, you know, through genealogy, they had some white ancestry, you know, deep, both of them had a, you know, back in their history, but in their ancestry. But I wanted to ask, y'all talk about biracial. What about a woman who's biracial? Is that okay? Is that acceptable to date?
Yeah, I think so.
It goes back to the environment and what you like. You know, being acceptable, you just got to be happy. I mean,
that's it.
I mean, that's all that matters. I mean, biracial, Asian, Native American, whatever, you have to be happy. Now, you know, that's not going to make everybody else happy. But it's like, I just think about it as what my mom said. You have to be cautious and aware that everybody is not going to be thinking like you. But as long as you're okay and both of you are willing to assume these, I guess, risks and you calculated them, and most of them are probably going to come from family and friends. It ain't going to be random people. It's going to be family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be prepared for that.
So what do y'all know, talking about biracial?
I want you to answer the question first, Rodney.
I'll get to that, brother. Hold fast. But I want to get to what do y'all know about the one drop theory or the one drop rule?
About one drop of a man's blood, if he's minority, makes the child black.
Yeah, that's right.
The one drop rule is a historical term in the United States for the social classification as black of individuals with any African ancestry, and it's. What y'all don't know is an example of hypodescent, which is the automatic assignment of children of a mixed union between two different socioeconomic or ethnic groups to the group with the lower status. So what the one-drop theory says, you know, out of the two, you know, our society has in some instances and still does regard some races of people as dominant and superior and others as subordinate and inferior. So with hypodescent, with the one-drop rule, they say, okay, we're going to identify you with the group that we consider the lower status. Well, on the flip side, they have, you know, the opposite practice is hyper-descent, in which children are assigned to the race that is considered dominant or superior. I don't know if y'all knew that or not about the one-drop rule. But I had to, you know, I had to put that out there with the whole biracial thing. It's like we're gonna assign you to the lesser group, the lesser class. But But back to dating. Is it okay, as long as it's a minority, dating another minority?
Well, no, because like I said earlier before, I mean, I guess it depends on what culture it is, because the Indian was anything but black.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but there are, but I'm telling you, that woman or that man has probably been through some stuff with their family and friends in order to make that decision. So if you think that, hey, we're in America, we're both on the same side of the coin because you're a person of color and so am I. I mean, a good example is this. Look at what happened to all these people of color when 9/11 happened. They would love to hang out with black people then. Because white people were thinking that, you know, a lot of these individuals were terrorists and they were Muslim this and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And they were, hey, they were cool talking to black people then because they, oh, why do you treat me like this? Why not? They're not, I was just at work with them the other day. Yes, you were. This is what I've been trying to tell you. You know, in some aspect that, hey, it doesn't matter. You're still perceived as a person of color. And you're right, it should be. You would think that, hey, if you're a person of color and I'm a person of color, it would be all right for us to maybe talk with each other, at least carry on a conversation, but anything but black.
Mm-hmm. Good words. Mr. Tony, it's time. It's 10:30. Y'all check this out. 10:30, a little bit before. Check this out.
Brush your head before you go. Wet your mind before you blow. Must get back in before I bow. You miss back and let me know. Licky, I love that bro.
Are some women of particular races easier? Do they do things in the bedroom that women of other races typically won't do?
Yep.
No.
Personal experiences only, brother.
No.
No rumors, no third hand.
No.
Yes.
No.
Somebody go with it. Go. Somebody.
Listen. Go ahead. I fall back. I catch it on the end.
It's a myth. If she's comfortable with you, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
What race or color you are. If you're making her feel like she's $1 million or whatever the term you want to say, making her feel like, and you are definitely making a connection with her on a basically with women in general anyway, is on a mental capacity before it even gets to the physical, she'll do anything you want her to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because why do you think that? I mean, what do you think pimps are? I mean, what do you think they're doing? They got black, white, Asian. Heck, you got women pimping other women. It is the mental side before you even get to the intimate side.
You said it, man. There's nothing more that needs to be said.
There it is.
I think the brother wanted to disagree with y'all.
Look, yeah, yeah, bring it.
I disagree with that. Disagree with that. Because, like I said, when I date a white woman, and I think it's because of your environment and your culture and the way you was brought up, you ain't going to get no sister, no thorough sister that's on top of her game. She ain't going to do all those things you think you wanted her to do. I wouldn't care. Listen, and I'm speaking from a marriage standpoint. I'm speaking from a single standpoint. I'm speaking from being in the streets with the gutter snipes, too. I done had them. I done dated a white girl, and I'm going to tell you, before I even went to the bed, the first thing she did was that. I've been married, listen, I tell you, I've been with my wife 21 years. And that only comes on holidays. Listen to me. And me and my wife is soulmates to the end. And she's right there to the end. And listen, and Rod, I'm keeping it 100. It's a difference. Everybody, listen, trust me. You ain't coming to no sister all kinds of ways. I ain't talking about them round away girls. I ain't talking about them round away girls. I'm talking about a real woman. She ain't going unless she's in. No, you ain't coming like that. No, sir. She ain't doing no mic checks. She ain't doing all that. No mic checks.
Oh, I disagree. Man. I totally disagree. A freak is a freak.
See, now,
point blank, black, white, I done had them black, white, whatever the case may be, they all did it.
But we
and then you got
a,
some that don't do it.
We ain't talking about a freak. A freak is a freak. When you got a freak, that's what she do. That's what classifies her as a freak.
Oh. No.
What's your classification? A freak?
You can have, listen. You can have a personal freak.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't got to be freaking with everybody else. She could be your private dancer. She could be your personal freak and do whatever it is that you like. Because guess what? You her personal freak, too. So it's all good.
Okay.
Trust me, man. The flip side of that is, dude,
if she freak you.
There's a number of white women out there that will look at you like you crazy if you try to, command them, or, you try to ask them to do something. Hey, go make me a sandwich, or hey, speaking to the microphone. There's a number of them out there that ain't, getting down like that. And, just like on the other side, because I done messed around with both, there's a number of African-American, Hispanic women that will do whatever you want. All women, men and women, yeah, I've concluded we're from different planets. But, women are more emotional creatures. And as the brother was saying before, if you can get to them on a mental and emotional standpoint, man, a female will do whatever it is you want. I can't speak for your wife, or your special circumstance. But from what I've experienced, oh, man, the color don't matter.
Yeah, because I've seen groupies of all different races. I want to ask this. Good chat, fellas. I want to ask this. Oh, it ain't over. Is it okay to date and have sex with women outside of your race as long as you don't marry one of them? Is that okay? Do all what y'all were talking about doing, but then when it comes to bringing them home to mom, no thanks. What y'all think about it?
I don't know if okay is the right word for that scenario.
Give me another word, brother.
That's a little vague.
Do people feel that way?
I mean, again, it just comes back to, you made that choice, and that's the way you want to carry it, and that's how you carry it. I don't think it's okay. It's not right or wrong. It's just what you decide to do. I mean, some individuals may make a decision that, they only want to do this, that, and the other, and not some other. I mean, I don't think okay is the... Okay is not the word. I don't know what word it would be, but it's just one of those things where if that's how you decide to carry it, I'm just going to date these women, but I'm not going to take them home. I mean, okay, then that's I don't even know if it's a preference. It's just your choice.
Some people look at why buy the cow when the milk is free? Well, we've all been in a situation. Go ahead.
I don't know. That's a hard question to ask. I don't know. I can't.
It's really not that hard though. It's really not that hard because it don't even have to be about. It don't even have to be about the race piece.
No.
We've all had the late night movement, the late night jump off where the girl is strictly late night. She ain't daylight. She ain't getting no ring. She ain't getting nothing. She just getting the late night $40 quick stay joint, and you in and you out. Don't nobody know but you and her, because you ain't telling nobody.
Fellas, I only got about 10 minutes. I got 3 more questions. I got to move on. I'm sorry to cut y'all short on that, but that was a good chat. But back to the topic at hand, talking about race. Can you even tell everybody's race? What if you're wrong?
Nope.
What if you're wrong?
Well, you can't tell. You just be like, that's a, like I said, it goes back to the most basic thing. That's a woman. You got to be careful. But most of the time, you just keep it real basic. I'm not worried about what race she is. That's a woman.
Yeah. So does it matter if the person is of your same race but doesn't look like it? You know, what about that? You know, they're black, and you try to tell everybody they're black, but they're like, no, you know, no.
What you talking about, like the devil in the blue dress?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you explain, oh, she's black. Mama, she's black. She's mama like, no, she looks white to me. I don't care. Just like the story I told y'all. Yeah, it's appearances, you know. So, I mean, what about that?
Who cares, man?
That's the thing. Who cares?
It don't matter. Who cares?
You can't give that energy, just like you can't give racism and all that other stuff energy. You just got to be happy, man.
Yeah. You got to be happy, man. If people hating on you because you happy, because you got a person that don't look like you, that's not where you from, you know what I mean? Then put them to the back of the boat, parents included. Y'all got to go to the back of the bus and let me live my life. It is
good words. Good words. Let me drop this one. In some respect, aren't we all multiracial?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
100%.
Yeah, because it's expected that nearly 75 million Americans will identify with more than one race by the year 2050. So we just all, you know, just all over the place. And 58% of blacks have at least 13% European ancestry, and that's the equivalent of one great-grandparent. 20% of blacks have at least 25% European ancestry, and that's the equivalent of one grandparent. 5% of blacks have at least 13% Native American ancestry, again, one great-grandparent. And 1% of blacks have at least 50% of European ancestry, which is the equivalent of one parent. But I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to drop another one. Is your church equal opportunity?
Does the church oh, my goodness.
Yeah, does the church that you attend do anything outside of one specific race?
Man.
Not mine.
No.
Not back home, no, sir.
Not mine. Not no Baptist. Not mine.
Mine's just as fast as white.
Not mine.
Of course, African Americans.
No, sir. Gonna go back and beat. No saw.
No saw.
Oh man, you boys are wild.
Oh my goodness, you look around that church, and it's not at all. It's none but black faces.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? And if you bring anything else, and people are like, is something getting fixed? Did the church floor not go?
Exactly.
Fixing the AC or something. It's not happening in there. It's not jumping off like that. Is not a topic.
Mm-mm.
No.
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 None of that, huh?
Nah, that's
no.
Not happening.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Well, let me ask my final question here. And this will take some time. where is my bill?
Yeah, that was one.
Never mind.
Where
Yeah. Final one. I don't know what happened to it. It stopped. It's too many tonight. It's not working anymore. Last question. Final question, brother, before the conclusion. What are you going to teach your kids about the subject dating outside of your race?
Be happy.
Yep.
Conclusion. That's
it. Yeah, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Good words. Is that it?
As long as they treat you right, I don't care what race they are. As long as
yeah.
they respect you and treat you right, it's all right with me.
But again, going back to, like I said, just be cautious because everybody's not going to have the same thought as you. So you have to be cognizant of your surroundings. It's like we all know probably from where we grew up specifically, you know what side of town to be on, what side of town maybe not to be on.
Right.
You know, with regards to safety. It's the same thing with regards to safety with race and makeup and things like that. Everybody know in Richmond, you go to Jeff Davis, you might get some rednecks that might want to do something to you. That's just the way it is. So
yeah.
you got to be prepared. So, you know, it's out there, but just be cautious.
Right.
Mm. Good words. I've got one more question.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get my...
I better find your loving. I better find your heart.
Didn't he get shot at the end of that video?
Huh?
Didn't he get shot at the end of that video?
I don't even know. But do people narrow their choices for finding love by focusing too much on dating exclusively within their race?
Can you pose that question one more time?
Yeah. I said, do people narrow their choices? Like Drake said, I better find your love. For finding love by focusing too much on dating exclusively within their race.
Yes.
Yes.
See, I would say no. Here's the thing. I don't even think the exclusivity is in the race. It's more within you. You know, because here's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can say, oh, I'm only going to date black women. But the fact is you're going to be so exclusive within that in its own right because there's something in you that's exclusive. So, I mean, it gets narrowed down. Yes, I'll say that. But I don't know if it really does anything that significant. I don't know. Somebody could disagree.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a frame of mind. You know, I mean, it'd be ideal if we could all be open-minded enough, you know, I mean, to go out, like you said, when you're searching for your mate, searching for your soulmate, and just be open-minded and say, hey, that's a woman, that's an attractive woman, hey, that's someone I got something in common with. You know, think about how many great women you might be looking over just because she doesn't meet, you know, I mean, that number one profile that you got, she's not black or she's not white or, you know, you're black. And, you know, hey, there might be a number of African-American women out there that are for you. That, but, you know, I mean, you're only going to, you know, look exclusively for white women or for Asian women. So I think unquestionably it does.
Yeah, because, I mean, isn't love what's important? Isn't love what matters most? I think y'all said it before. As long as they're happy
yeah.
and they, you know, they treat you right, I mean, what does it matter?
Yep.
So. All right. Set time. Time for the conclusion. My favorite part. A person should be judged by his or her character, not by their skin color. There's no place in the life of a Christian for favoritism based on race. Jesus requires us to love everybody, and setting up artificial barriers on the basis of skin color or other racial differences is basically a form of hatred. It reflects racism rather than the truth of God's word. As Christians, we must strive to ensure that the Word of God is our foundation and not the ideas, speculation, culture, or racism of men. When selecting a mate, a Christian should always first find out if the potential spouse is a Christian. Interracial dating and marriage is not a matter of right or wrong, but of wisdom, discernment, and prayer. The only reason interracial marriage should be considered carefully is the difficulties a mixed-race couple may experience because of others who have a hard time accepting them. An interracial couple needs to take these things into consideration and be prepared for them, should they decide to marry. The only two biblical restrictions placed on whom a Christian may marry are whether the other person is a member of the body of Christ and that the other person was born with different genitalia than you. But the serious cultural and social demands of interracial marriage require clear vision and mature motivation. The single most important factor in choosing a lifelong mate is that person's relationship with Christ, and there's no compromise with that, tying back to Patrice's topic from 2 weeks ago. For a Christian, dating a non-Christian is unwise, and marrying one is not even an option. We're supposed to be separate from the world, in the world, but not of the world, and nowhere is that more important than in life's most intimate relationship, which is the marriage. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Having any kind of intimate relationship with an unbeliever can quickly turn into something that's a hindrance to your Christian walk. We're called to witness to the lost, not to be intimate with them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with building quality friendships with non-believers, but that's as far as this should go, fellas. If you're dating an unbeliever, what would honestly be your priority? Romance or winning a soul for Christ? And how could a quality marriage be built and maintained if you disagree on the most crucial issue? If you married an unbeliever, how will the two of you cultivate spiritual intimacy? There's that pesky word again. But let me tie this thing all the way back to our topic on child support from last month, which we spent a significant amount of time talking about Alicia Keys. And fellas, that was by design. Because did y'all know that Alicia Keys is biracial? You probably did. But she's a shining example of what can come from people of two different races. By the way, what are the colors of the keys on Alicia's piano? Now, there's an aha moment. But let me name some other famous biracial and multiracial people for you. Crispus Attucks, Frederick Douglass, Langston Hughes, W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, singer Etta James. Actress Halle Berry.
Love, should have brought your ass home last night.
Singer Mariah Carey. Singer Bob Marley. Singer Sade. Actress Lisa Bonet. Actress Tandy Newton. Singer A-Marie. Actress Cameron Diaz. Singer Chili from TLC. Christopher Kid Reed from Kid and Play. Singer Faith Evans. Rapper Foxy Brown. Singer and guitarist Jimi Hendrix. Jordan Sparks from American Idol fame. singer, Keisha Cole. Singer Cassie. Singer Tamia.
DJ.
Singer Maya. Singer Shakira. Actor Vin Diesel. Singer Lenny Kravitz. Derek Jeter, CNN Soledad O'Brien. Jasmine Guy. DC Mayor Adrian Fenty.
See, Washington, D.C., as the nation's capital, could lay a claim to being the world-class city of the world.
Actress Rosario Dawson.
Don't even try to play it off. You would have been on time. There would have been no need to run.
Actress Sally Richardson, actress Salma Hayek, baller Carmelo Anthony, former Atlanta Braves baseball player and ex-husband of Halle Berry, David Justice, Pittsburgh Steeler Hines Ward, baller Jason Kidd, retired baller Rick Fox, Rick's ex-wife, actress Vanessa Williams, golfer Tiger Woods,
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Rapper Drizzy Drake. And finally, fellas, President Barack Obama.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Despite the fact that most, if not all of y'all, consider Obama to be only black. Now, there's another aha moment. But there's one person I failed to mention who's biracial, and that's Mrs. Rodney. Some of y'all may not know, but my wife is biracial. Her father is black and her mother is Irish. I really think that I have the best of both worlds, despite the fact that she's attractive. She's even more beautiful to me because of her faith. Just look at the three colors in the pages of most Bibles. You got black letters on white paper,
and red letters that represent Christ speaking or his shed blood. So if it came to needing blood from someone of another race to save your life, wouldn't you take it? If they're good enough to give you blood to save your life, I would think that it's not going to hurt you to date or marry them. Our hearts pump the same color blood no matter what color we are. The same way like the keys on Alicia's piano, two races combined together can make beautiful music together. Now let me continue with my music analogy. There can be no spiritual harmony in a marriage between a Christian and a non-Christian. That was so good, I've got to say that again. The same way like the keys on Elise's piano, two races combined together can make beautiful music together. There can be no spiritual harmony in a marriage between a Christian and a non-Christian. So there's nothing morally wrong with dating and ultimately marrying a person of another race. But the colorblind society starts with you, homeboy. So if it's still a personal hang-up for you, you need to just cut it, which is a tie-back to T-Hawk's topic on the vasectomy from last week. Fellas, the airport is in sight. I can almost see the runway. Earlier, I forgot to mention the final definition for the word race, and it is as follows. Of or pertaining to the human race or humankind. We're all part of the human race, and God created us all equal. Bottom line, you can't date outside of your race as long as you date someone of the human race. What separates us from one another is our religion and belief, so her faith should be the ultimate attraction. In closing, date whomever you please, as long as they're not of your same gender, regardless of what society may say. Faith in Christ is the biblical standard for choosing a wife, not skin color, since salvation is always by grace and never by race. Hey, that rhymes. By the way, did y'all know that the Bible doesn't even contain a clear definition of race, referring instead to nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples? But I digress. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." God's main concern was marrying outside of the church, which refers to marrying outside of your faith, not your race. That concludes our show for the evening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show for Men, brought to you by the Married Men's Club. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and next week's topic will be... Married to Work. Oh, that's going to be a good one. If you'd like more information about this show, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. Again, that website is householdstress.com. Is R.A.W. still on the line? R.A.W.?
No.
Yeah, you still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no, next time you have a topic idea for this show, I'm going to make you host it. But let me close this thing out proper. Like, it's almost 11, we're going to open mic. Don't hang up, fellas, I got something for you off open mic. But let me close this down for you.
My man.
Yeah, let me play the final clip and we'll go ahead and roll over to open mic.
You are now free to move about the country.
Alright, fellas, show's over. Thanks for tuning in. We're about to roll into open mic. Please do not hang up because the phone lines do cut off at 11 o'clock, so you cannot call back in. But Tony, if you don't mind, I'm about to light this thing up and we're going to talk about sex. I'm going to make it go. I got 7 clips, fellas, that y'all are going to enjoy from our women's show. And again, I'll remind you, if you hang up, you will not be able to get in. So just be sure if you do hang up that you're done for the night. Because the phone lines do cut off at 11 o'clock. But our first clip is as follows. It's only a few seconds. Let me mark it, and y'all can listen, and we'll comment on it. Here we go.
Soulmate. I mean, honestly, the initial topic was soulmate, but as I kept thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know, sexmate just came to mind, because so many times, and I know I've definitely been guilty of it, you women, we find ourselves in these intimate relationships, and we really have to stop and ask ourselves, am I with this person because I'm really supposed to be with them because they believe what I believe and because we are truly compatible, or am I just with them because I'm caught up in being satisfied sexually? What do you all think about that?
I think it depends on where you are in your life. Because as a younger woman, the fun and the lack of seriousness and, you know, those things become what is the dominant things in your life for the time, or at least that was my experience. When I was younger, the relationships that I had were more shallow, but that's who and where I was. As I got older, my relationships matured, I became more mature, the quality and the choice of the people that I was with changed, and what I valued in those relationships changed, because as I got older, and maybe it's just because I was older, the sex wasn't as great and as exciting, but the quality and character of the men was much more worthy, and I felt better about introducing them to my mother, per se, versus those other men maybe 10 years earlier that, you know, I introduced my mother to one guy one time, and I asked her what she thought, and she said, I don't think nothing, because he's not going to be my son-in-law, so I don't really care.
Whoa.
I was like, you know, he could be, and she was like, no, he can't, and he won't, so, you know, I don't even know why you're talking to that boy, because he's dumb, and you don't really like him, you're just bored, I see you playing, and, like, she just read me, like, you know, you're having fun, and it's okay, I've done it, you know, when you're mature and you're more serious, you know, you'll choose, you'll make a better choice. And when I was more mature and more serious, I did make a better choice.
Thoughts on that, fellas? She said she was young, just wanted to have fun, but now she's just interested in the quality of the man. Any thoughts
on that? Well, I think, you know, it's a trip, you know, that she got some wisdom. I mean, some women know this from the gate. It don't even matter how old they are. I mean, they just had that control. And then some women never learn it. You know, I got some female friends right now, 47, 50, 50-something years old, still chasing, you know, Mr. Feel Good. And, you know, still can't figure out why he leave after a weekend, you know. I'm glad for her. I'm glad she got the great awakening, but some women don't get that. That can't apply across the board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good words. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I got out of it is that, you know, and I've got a few more clips, so please don't go away. It's just a few more. But I got out of it that as when women are younger, you know, sex is more, oh, you know, it's fun, you know. But as they mature, as they get older, you know, sex is not, you know, they're more looking for, you know, the quality of the man and versus, you know. I don't know if y'all agree with that or not.
Brother, I would like to add a little something to that. I've done the research.
Okay.
And back when I was dating, a woman usually hit her sexual peak between the ripe ages of 27 and 35.
Okay.
That's when she was open and willing to do just about some of the most craziest stuff she's ever dreamed about doing. So, you know, they are more reserved at that age than they may be at their younger age, and they may be more selective, but the level of freakiness definitely increases. So, you know, if you can work through the sophistication and the front they put up, it can be rewarded. I've done the research.
He said he's done the research. Fellas, jump on there. What do you think? What do you think?
Increase that age from 35 up a little bit more. Okay, yeah. You know, and each woman is different. You know, they got different water levels, hormones, and everything else. So, yeah. But that's around the sweet spot right there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to move on to the next clip. Anybody else want to jump on that one? Going once, going twice. Done. Next clip. Here we go.
In addition to that, what I was talking about earlier in regards to the hormonal releases that come from having sex, the hormone that's released is oxytocin, and it's a bonding hormone, and the hormone actually stays in a woman's body 3 days. It stays in a woman's body for 3 days and a man's body only for 3 hours. And so what it basically does is bond that woman to that particular man, it's an increase in that chemical that makes that woman feel bonded to that man. So I think it's important because I'm always thinking about, like, how am I going to educate the younger women that come behind me, but to actually teach them things like that. Like, you might be feeling really connected to this dude because maybe he did you right, or he did whatever you felt needed to be done, but you're actually being connected to him hormonally as well, and understanding that that hormone is just that. It's a hormone. It's not something that you make a decision on. I see a lot of young girls coming back, and, of course, they're like, you know, I love this dude. And the first question I want to ask is, did you just have sex with him, like, a couple days ago? Because, of course, you're going to continue to feel like you're loving him because that hormone is still in your body and you're feeling connected to him. And then, again, biologically, just the way us women are created, in that we take a person in. And so I think, again, that whole concept of soulmate, it makes me wonder how many men actually believe in soulmate in its entirety versus as a tool just to get closer to a woman. And if it's really effective in the end, because I think that a person, if they believe in soulmates, would feel connected to that person via their soul without, you know, having sex.
Just to recap, she said the hormones that are released stays in a woman's body for 3 days, but it stays in a man's body for 3 hours. So that's why you can go again in 3 hours and your wife don't want to do it, but every 3 days. Thoughts on that?
Hey, you know, this is why you need to be weary of women that read too much.
You know what? I was just going to say the same thing.
You took the words right out my mouth.
She is so busy monitoring her chemical level that she don't know if she done met her soulmate or not. The only thing she's sensing is chemical levels.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I ain't never heard that one.
Yeah. Y'all don't know. I'm educating y'all tonight, but
she's trying to rationalize. She's trying to rationalize emotions. Okay, great. You're trying to rationalize emotions. You can name all the chemicals and all the hormones. Good for you. You can read the element chart. Cool, whatever. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I mean, women are engineered to be nurturers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If a woman has sex with a man, some women have more of that chemical than others. I know a woman that can have sex with a dude and not think anything of it.
You got that right.
I know a woman that can have sex with a dude and will give up her bank account, credit card, cars, pay his mortgage and everything. So, I mean, them chemical levels are different than all women. But bottom line, women are pre-wired to be nurturers, and I don't know what that shit going to do. I would like to talk to her now because she's married or she's still monitoring her level.
Yeah,
she on some other stuff. She on some other stuff.
Too deep for y'all.
No, she ain't found the right one. She ain't found the right one. She ain't, because believe you me, she taught that chemical level lesson. You're right, and I know women that can go head on and just have sex with you. As a matter of fact, escort you to the door as soon as you're done and turn the key and lock the door.
Don't even
know
what the name is.
Huh?
Yes, sir. They don't even care what the name is.
Exactly. I done met them.
Man, when I was in college, I had this 40-year-old chick show me some things around the bedroom. When I came in her house, he said, "Don't talk to me. Ask me how to go work. Go in the bathroom. I don't care if you took a shower. Go take a shower and get in the bedroom, and I'll be there in a minute." And that was it.
I done had one too. I done went on, thought I was going to get a bottle of wine, come back. She said, "Why is you at my house?" I mean, really, the whole mood had changed.
Listen, you think, man, I'm going to talk to her about some chemical levels or something?
No.
Oh, go ahead. Y'all boys, wow. I'm schooling y'all tonight.
Oh, Lord.
Anybody else want to get on that? The 3 days, the three hours, the chemicals?
And please.
Yeah,
man,
okay,
I've been in a situation where it was vice versa. I felt like she had it for 3 hours and I had it for 3 days. So that ain't true. See, I was going right back, peeping through the window. She talking about, "Oh, you got to go."
Oh, man. Well, I got another clip for y'all. Our women's show is actually very great, but as y'all can see. But check this clip out.
Very great, Rodney.
I mean, everything else was fine except the whole sex thing. So,
sex is important.
Well, I am. I'm with you. But, you know, I'm not playing devil's advocate here. You know, I'm just saying, you know, everything else is fine. They've established their family. They get along. As a matter of fact, you said they never argued.
Sex is important. Because if everything is that good and it's all great,
then
they would need to be able to get it.
Yeah. So it was more to it than that. You know, sex is only, to me, a thermometer that says whether the marriage is hitting in a positive direction or it's almost like it measures the temperature of the relationship. If everything else is good, then why withhold from the sex if everything is good?
Right. That's it, exactly. Nail on the head. Something wasn't right. She was pretending to be okay, but she wasn't. Or she was pretending to be happy, but she really wasn't. Because if you're loving your husband, you got a good man, you're happy in your marriage, there's no reason to hold out.
There's no reason to hold out.
There's no reason to hold out. Thoughts, fellas, thoughts.
He ain't hitting that,
man.
Right.
You know.
40-day, 40-night thing, Ronnie.
Huh?
I think that just right there just went ahead and knocked that 40-day, 40-night thing out. Good words, bro.
What were you saying, Glenn?
He ain't hit that right.
Kids, them chicks, man, they talking about if the sex is good, then you need to go on and do whatever or, you know, release yourself. We all know what they talking about doing because we know our sisters are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, are you saying you can control if the sex is good? Maybe the reason why the sex ain't good is because of you.
Oh, talking too much. He analyzing the whole scenario.
I would love to be on there with a woman and she say, "Everything is good, but the sex ain't good." And so my first question to her would be, "Well, what are you doing wrong?"
Yep.
Oh, man.
But see, they don't think about it like that because they're not programmed to think about it like that. Society has women thinking that they can just lay back and they just go around the world sexually. No, that doesn't happen. You have to participate.
Mm-hmm.
The worst, brother.
You don't wait for me. You don't wait for me to wow you. You excite me so I can wow you.
Exactly. Wow. A lot of them don't get it. A lot of them, it go right over their head.
They don't get it.
I'm firm believer fair exchange is no robbery.
If you marry,
you're supposed to be doing some of the freakiest stuff you ever dreamed of.
Exactly.
You ain't supposed to be holding anything.
Nope.
Mm, cool.
That's why you still got the whole stroke. Because they don't do it.
Yeah.
That's why you ask any prostitute who come to them, the married ones, the ones the women don't want, somebody going to give it to them. And they don't understand it.
But they quick to point blame at that one, though. They need to look in the mirror on that one, too, now. They need to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And y'all hitting them hard, brothers. I'm glad we off the record now. Y'all hurting them hard. Anybody else want to get somebody else? Anybody else want to comment on that, chime in on that? If not, I've got another one.
You know, if you listen to Maya Angelou, man, and drinking their wine and stuff, man, they be forgetting. this is a two-way thing. This ain't just me.
Uh-huh.
It's us together.
Yeah, well, check this clip out.
He left her because of sex, then the marriage was based on sex.
That's not true, because you know what? Like, naturally, as human beings, we have needs, and that is a basic biological function.
If
you don't want your husband to sleep with somebody else, and I'm not saying that, I'm not in any way suggesting that, you know, it's okay for men to cheat or what have you, but, like, people, like, if you accept this role, and part of accepting that role is meeting certain needs. Like, there's a place in there where if that thing is not being met, something else needs to be addressed.
Right.
And like she said, she was already emotionally unattached.
And
so,
you go out and you go have, well, you can go out and have an affair, but to divorce someone because you're not having sex.
Why have an affair if you're going to
you
have
a
wife?
Well, if you're not getting it at home,
why have an affair? Why not just divorce?
I'm not saying have an affair at all. What I'm saying is if sex was the only reason why he got divorced, then that was the reason why he got married. Because if sex is the key to holding your marriage together, then there's a problem.
No, it's not the key, but I refuse to undervalue the importance of sex.
I'm not undervaluing
So it could be a breaking point, though, is my only point. It's not that sex would be
but
the reason he married her.
I like that first sister. I like that first sister. She was right. She was right. Now, that other one, I don't know what she talking about. She must not be married. Because let her not give her husband no sex. I guarantee you're going to skip around this corner. I guarantee. Pressure will bust a pipe. Believe that. Believe that.
Oh, man.
I don't think, my comment on that is, I don't think that's based to keep a divorce, but I think that's a very important part of being married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of them say to make your marriage, you got to consummate your marriage. And what you think they talking about? They ain't talking about, we go home and talk about, like the old girl was saying, 3% of this and 1% of that. You go home and you make it happen. You make it happen. Now, you don't give your husband no sex, I guarantee you, for a period of time. And you look, and don't let your sister be looking good, because he'll forget that's your sister. Listen, trust me when I tell you, you don't hold some sex. And, man, he can't get to know and love himself too much. Trust me. I don't know. I love my wife. She know. I mean, I stay his every day. You got to break a brother off. You got to break a brother off.
Oh, man.
Now, I can understand that once you get 65, when you're older, you know, maybe that might not be a priority in your life. But right now, as long as them hormones still right, you better not be holding nothing back. First thing, I'm going to think you're cheating. If you hold something back. And if I think long, I think wrong. I ain't trying to turn no corners. No. But that is important, though. That keeps the marriage together. You can't be married. What are we going to talk about all day long? I mean, really.
Good words. Anybody else want to chime in on what the young ladies were talking about?
Man, I just want to say that I'm amazed at that one young lady, and I would love to talk to her.
That's right.
I can't understand her logic. I mean, she seems like she's her own worst enemy on a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she ain't seen the ball since kickoff, man.
Oh, this dude is going hard tonight. I love it.
Lord.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep it going. I got three more clips. Y'all check this out.
Difference of opinion is on sex. So what do we want from our men sexually?
or should I say, is it more the intimacy opposed to the sex? The sex comes after the intimacy. What do we want from our husband or our man when it comes down to sex?
Depends on the day.
Say that again?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
Sometimes sometimes it's a really intimate, wonderful, beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the day.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with her. But some days it's one of them lovey days. Some days a wham bam, let me keep it moving, man. You know what I mean? You know. You know what I mean? Some days you don't want
to
be all you, huh?
How are we supposed to know which day it is?
But see, that's the thing. I think the problem is that ultimately what it comes to is it's frustrating because it's like, who's driving this? It seems kind of, so we got to know what the day is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right in the day,
right,
and all of this other stuff?
Yeah, right.
If you're driving the day, can I drive tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to do what you want to do today or not today, every third day, getting back to the 3 hours and the 3 days or whatever, then when I get a chance to get in the driver's seat, then you need to be prepared to ride.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
<That's>... Pun intended or not intended.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be prepared to go where this car's going.
I know that's right.
Oh man, that's good. Anybody else? Anybody else? She said.
I just want to say that you know, I know in my experience, and I've done the research. Every time I was ready to go to the ultimate beyond, every time. And it was only as far as she was willing to go. It didn't matter to me. And I just made that clear. We can turn a quickie into a damn all nighter or whatever. Hell, it don't matter to me. You know, just let me know, you know, how long you want this thing to go, and we can make it do what it do. But I ain't gonna be trying to mark no damn days on no calendar. I'm a dude. And you know, dudes with me, you know, dudes, you know, cause you know when you, I know how I think when you finally get up in the cut, you know, you get what's good.
Uh-huh.
You know, you start thinking like, damn, this might be my last time. I need to go on and be like Derek Jeter. You know, I need to go on and knock this thing out the park, you know. So, you know how they be trying to keep quiet, you know, the kids is up. You know, we ain't really good at all that. You know, when we mess around, they do that little thing they do or something and move a certain way, and we get excited. I'm like, I can't be quiet, you know. I'm trying to express myself. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, if she ain't, I mean, women need to know, man. It's on off. It's on off. It's on off.
Check this one out, fellas. I got this one and one more, but check this one out.
We got some four-letter words, just expletives, but just on a daily basis, like, because sex, like intimacy to me and sex starts, like, long before we get into the bedroom. So it's that whole little, that long foreplay buildup that leads to, you know, dot, whatever, sexually, what have you. And so, like, you know, I need a certain kind of tone. Like, you got to talk to me a certain kind of way to even have me considering, like, okay, yeah, you can get it, all right. You know, otherwise, it's like,
Boy,
I'm with
you. Okay, well, let me. I just can't resist. So,
you
take it back to this.
Oh, no.
I gotta ask because it's killing me.
Oh.
So, let's say you're in the heat of the moment, and he's like, oh, baby, I want to make love to you, blah, blah, blah. And that's all well and good. But what if he drops an F bomb? Hey, let's, you know.
I don't think it much matters, you know. I mean, I have. You know what? My ex, I loved him. He said something so ridiculous and so crazy, I could not talking. I was like, if he say one more thing, I'm going to put him So, you know, like when they say stuff that they ain't got no business saying, kind of try and just steer them away from it. Like, oh, shh, shh. Yeah, yeah.
So do you prefer seriousness in the bedroom or a little fun and play, or, you know?
It just depends on
because
the
Because I tell you what, if you get to laughing, it's kind of over, you know that.
Listen, okay, it's not really over if you start laughing unless they naked and you looking at them and you start laughing. Then you can kiss the baby, it's a lot. But I'm saying, you know, like, sometimes, I mean, you know, I'm a little playful sometimes, and sometimes I'm serious, and sometimes, you know, I need an expletive, and like me personally, I curse, you know, so the F-bomb doesn't bother me, you know, just generally speaking. It just depends on the moment. Like, he has to be time appropriate, you know, whatever the moment is. If we joking, you know what I'm saying, then we gonna joke. If we serious, then we serious, but you know. He said some old, I mean, just some old crazy porno stuff. And I was like, what? Like, you know,
moon kick a wow wow.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, did he just say that for real? I'm just laughing so hard. Like, I'm trying not to let him know that I'm laughing at him and not with him, because he said that stuff with a straight face. And I was like, you have got to be kidding. You have got to.
Yeah, don't be acting out no porno script, because that is definitely not going to work.
Like, I was just so astounded that he said it. I was like, did he just say the beep, 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 beep? And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, and I told one of my girlfriends, I was like, yo, has anybody ever said the beep, 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 beep? And they just busted out laughing. And I was like, see, that's exactly what I did.
Thoughts, sweet talk.
Say what you mean what you say.
What was she beeping out? I don't know. What was the expletive that she was beeping out about?
I don't know. She never said it. All she said was beep, beep, beep. So, I don't know.
Said.
Yeah. I don't know what the brother was saying, but that's...
He was caught up in a moment. Hey, you with your girl, your wife, or whatever, I think, and you have it, that it is what it is. That's what you do. Why hold back what you're feeling if you can't express yourself intimate with your partner? Then what's the point?
Yeah, the chick started laughing at him.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having sex with somebody and they talking about you can't curse?
Oh, see, yeah, that's a turn off in itself. When you got rules,
are you
got
serious?
Rules. Oh,
but that's the thing. It's like if you got a billion rules you got to adhere to even be intimate with somebody, that'll just make you say, you know what, I'll pass.
Yep.
Right. I mean, you know, the F-bomb, really? Seriously? I mean, I'm just amazed that the way some of these chicks think, and, you know, I'm really glad I'm married, because I definitely found the diamond in the rough, because if I came across some of these chicks right here, boy, I might have to be, you know, outside of my race or something. I might have to widen my scope.
can't say the F word,
and you can't sound like a porno. You can't sound like a porno, don't you know? That some of my fantasies are based exactly on a porno. You
exactly.
Can't you put two and two together? Don't you think I'm gonna say some of the stuff that old boy Steel say on the video? Don't you think I'm gonna say some of the stuff that Jada Pye say on the video?
You know the name.
Don't you know I'm trying to recreate a moment right here? All I need you to do is roll your body like this.
And she don't understand a lot of times when men say that out loud. It's a turn on for a man as well. She'll benefit more out of that than he will, because mentally he's doing something. I'm gonna tear this up. I'm gonna tear, you know what I mean? This man, he going to work. You know what I mean? He put in his work.
Brother. Every brother remember that one girl they was with, or however many girls they were with, that when they was doing it to, she would just say some of the most nasty, filthy stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she, every time, it would drive you crazy.
Yes, it would.
You would give a command performance.
No.
Yep. Good. I mean, you was winning the Oscar that night.
She would bring it out of you. She would bring it out of you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I got one more clip, fellas. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'd get y'all. Man,
we need to get on. We need to get on with the women, man. That we need to do. No,
yeah,
you don't need to do
that.
World War III, man.
Yeah. That show
comes from
Call. Yeah, we're working on a co-ed call, but yeah, their show comes on the same time as ours, and I, you know, tonight's topic, what a man wants, I'm intrigued to see what they got, you know, what they came out of that tonight, but anyway.
They will be shocked if some of the stuff, go ahead.
Yeah, this is my final clip, brothers, final clip.
All right.
And reading that list, I will say that there was no mention of sexual compatibility, being good in bed, being well endowed. None of the ladies mentioned that. Now, whether they would mention that to me, that's another story. But, you know, I don't think that that's even close to anything that what I was reading on the list as far as being a provider, being trustworthy, being faithful, caring, dependable, respectable, a man with integrity. You know, I think it's important, but I don't think it's as important for women. But, you know, what is the most important thing that women want? Does anybody know?
Do you know women?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think those types of discussions about, you know, whether you want a man who's well endowed and physically, you know, jumping off the ceiling and making go ooh-ah, I think it's very important, but that's just something that you don't kind of put out there. I mean, you don't go up and say, hey, baby, you know, I expect you to be, you know, to be swinging, you know.
He didn't say that they weren't important. He said they weren't at the top of the list.
And they're not. And realistically, you know, and this, I will say from experience, like sex is important. And I think that everyone has heard me say that on numerous occasions on various topics, like sex is important, but it's more important that he's not sleeping with everybody else. It's more important that he will pay that bill on time. It's more important that he's not going to push the old man down the flight of stairs, you know. So there are other things in terms of character, in terms of how he treats me, in terms of, you know, what kind of man he is in the world that are much more valuable in a man than what he does or how he performs sexually. And if you're talking about having a partner or a life mate, like, you really need to have your priorities in order, because the one that could put your back out may not be the one that you want to teach your son to be a man.
Well, I agree with that, but I think there's some heavy weight would be put on the physical aspect of sex. I just can't imagine that if he came to the table with 1 inch, you wouldn't have a problem with that.
What I believe is sex is important in the way that God deemed it to be gifted within the marriage. Outside of that, I don't believe that that's important. That's my opinion. That's what I believe.
Yeah, he got the A game.
I got
thoughts. Sex is important. Ain't that important? Go ahead.
What, sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. In this day and time, where the economy is, they want you to have a job first. They don't care if you got a job first. Now, back in the day, you better be swinging or they're going to talk about you. Right now, they'll work with you if you got a job. They'll work with you if you got a job.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah, I think they'll work with you. Now, back in the day, or when things was good and anybody was working at home, they own, yeah, you got to come right. But right now, since it's a recession, you get a little pass this time. As long as you got a job, you be all right.
Good word. Anybody else?
Man, I think, well, you know how I feel about it. You know, I definitely condone sex before marriage because, you know, I take that stance, and I know there are people that disagree, you know, based upon teachings of the Bible, and I understand that. But ain't nothing in the world worse. Marry somebody you ain't never had sex with.
Yeah. And you realize that sex is
not nearly what you thought it was going to be. And, you know, you got a lot of work at your hands, because that's when you got to decide if you're going to commit to try to get it better, or you're going to live with it, or you're going to go through the trouble of getting a divorce. I mean, that's a heavy burden right there. Got to be somebody that can't satisfy you patiently. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that is.
Signing that 2-year contract for that new phone agreement.
That's fine. I mean,
she's $300 to break that contract.
Well, you know, say that she continues to work on it, and you know, over time, you know, maybe you pulled a plug on it before she was able to, you know, work it out.
Come on.
So, you know,
you got to put in all that time and that effort.
It's going to be bad, you know.
Oh, they can be taught, man. They can be taught.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
They can be taught.
But you want a quick learner. You don't want a slow learner. I mean, come on. You can teach them, but we all want a quick learner.
Well, like the next session, like, you need to be doing it this way.
Yeah. And the other thing, you hit a good point. She need to be receptive to that.
Right.
She don't need to
right.
be,
and when
she
we had
need to be receptive to that and understand, you know, that, hey, this ain't a criticize you or to jump on you, but this is just trying to make us both happy, because I know you want to please me, but you can't please me, you know, with the one position you learn and thinking that's it. No, possibly.
There it is. It's just like the fundamental basics of any type of T-ball or baseball practice or whatever when you're a little boy. You know, we're going to build on the last practice. So we know what you're supposed to do when you come to the next practice. Remember what we just worked on.
So what if it's vice versa? What if you know, she's saying that, you know, you're just not pleasing me sexually? Then what?
Well, then you suppose, well, what can I do, or what do you like? I mean, you can always improvise. It's always, there's always other ways around it. You know what I mean?
There's some things, you know, you can do, and then there's the one thing you can't do. If you ain't big enough to please, if your endowment ain't to that point, there really ain't nothing you can do.
Hey, you know. I'm gonna say. My father always told me they can look up longer than you can look down. So that bigness and all that, they spitting out 19-inch babies.
Oh yeah.
So and so, let me tell you, and I learned this. I'm a little old. A nigga talking about he killing something. You ain't killing nothing. Listen, you ain't killing nothing. I watch my son, my daughter, and I'm looking like, God. That's 19 inches coming straight out of you. So what are you doing? So it's a method to the madness. Sometimes, you can work around it. That well and down, it depends. If some people in the pain, that's fine. But that sometimes too much of anything ain't good for you, man. Sometimes, you know, I'm a firm believer. That's a myth there. Because, listen, I ain't 20 inches, but I ain't no 2 inches. But, I make it do what it do. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just like if you got to change your tire, and you ain't got certain things, you know certain things you can do to improvise to suffice to get that tire changed. So it's always a method to the madness. It just depends on what they're looking for. If you ain't well, even talk that well and down, man. Come on, man. When I seen my son come out, I already that myth was done.
The baby being born is definitely humble. Now that's because the vagina is amazing. It's an amazing vessel, but there's just some women out there, man. I mean, they just anatomically they just built to take a leg. I mean, ain't nothing.
Hey, listen. Hey, you right. Hey, listen. I just spent. I looked around the house. I mean, I ain't say the house, but I looked around and said, "Damn, let me grab that bat or something." You know what I mean? Because that might work. Cause I'm like, I can't do nothing. I'm like a bottomless pit, man. You like, what in the world?
And it's always the one that's quiet. Usually the preacher's daughter. All right, let me stop right there. Let me right there. Cause you know them big thick ones. They always talk all that smack, but then when you get them, boy, oh boy, look out! You are speaking in tongues, man. You get you one of them quiet ones.
Listen. I remember back to the porno when you were talking about the porno. Listen, I got my man said, you know what they say about them slim girls, man. He was talking to her. You know what they say about them slim girls, boy.
What? That's the way you lose your keys, boy. Come out there like, man, I lost my keys. Where my keys?
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Funny.
Mm-mm. But it's all what you do. It's all how you make it work, man. You know. But like I said, yeah, that was a point you got to be right. Now, I ain't saying you can't come half-stepping, but you got to bring something to the table. And long with a job, because now it's with a job. You ain't got no job, you ain't getting no rap. You know what I mean? It's just that simple nowadays.
But I think they made a good point on the call, though, when they said the whole concept about the tone and speaking to me and stuff during the day and all these other things. Because I had those conversations with my wife and stuff as well. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, it's one of these things where emotionally, and, you know, if you can get with them on the mental and emotional level, man, you can be setting the stage for some amazing stuff to happen in the bedroom, table, carpet, wherever. And it's about the foundation and stuff that you laid, and you don't even know. And a lot of times, you don't even know what you did. And that's the crazy part. Mm-hmm. Is that you don't know what you did. And I mean, it'd be basic stuff. You'd be like, wow, you know, this was amazing. This was great. And you'd be like, wait, what did I do? And how can I get same thing every time?
when you that is so true, brother. When you get a woman feeling comfortable, where she can really see some of her reveal, she can tell you everything. Women's minds are like graveyards, but when she can tell you some of her desires, you know, some of the things she's done wrong, you know, some of the things she's done right, you know, just some really deep desires, and share that with you and feel comfortable sharing that with you. When y'all connect mentally, boy. Yeah, that's fireworks right there, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you go to confessional for you. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Mm. Anything else, fellas, over mic? I'm done. I don't have any more clips. I don't have any more audio.
Well, what's your feedback, Mr. Turner?
What's
your
you asked all the questions.
What's your input on that?
On what? On what question? I asked a lot
on
of
all of it.
The
3 minutes, the hormone levels, all of
them. That brother said 3 minutes. But, you know, I think that with a lot of the things that they said, I think that when you look at the grand scheme of things, like I always say, is that in a relationship, sex is about 10% of your relationship. The other 90 is the job, the mortgage, the kids, your family, you know, making dinner. I mean, that's the 90. So, I mean, you got to focus on the 90 because, you know, that's, I mean, it's important. But, again, remember, it's about 10% when you actually look at the whole makeup of your relationship. I mean, you still have to communicate. You still have to, you know, get the kids ready. You still got to get them to go to work. So it's a lot of other things that go into it. But, you know, I think they made a lot of good points. But I think what was key was you know, a few points where they said that, you know, as a younger woman, they're, you know, a little bit more liberated and free sexually. But as they get older, as they mature, they're just cool sitting on the couch with a head of household man that's doing their thing. And that's what they get off on, where you're just like, we could take this up to the bedroom. And they're just like, no, you know, this is actually wonderful for me. So, you know, so as they mature, but, you know, also, you know, the whole, when they said depending on the day, you know, it's like, I'm like, okay. You know, we talk about one day they want the hair pulled, they want it, you know, they want it kind of rough, and then other days you got to caress and, you know, take your time. It's like, you know, put it on the counter, put it on the refrigerator. Which day is this? You know, is this like, you know,
Freaky Friday?
Yeah,
is this Freaky
exactly.
Friday?
Exactly. Or is this, you know,
laid back Tuesday,
sensual Saturday or something, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, that's the whole point. It's like, you know, can they let us know? But I think it depends. And, you know, back to what the brother was saying about, you know, when they said the sweet talk, you do have to talk to them. And that's pretty much foreplay all day long. You know, if you say something out your mouth that's wrong, that might mess up your evening, and you don't even realize it.
Yep.
You know, so you got to be careful, you know, what you say. But, you know, I think they had a lot of good points, but I think that the main point is that I think people focus too much on the sex rather than the communication piece, you know, and, you know, that's where it's at. You can't communicate, you know, if the sex is bad, you can't articulate it, you know, you should be able to communicate, and that'll solve, that's what all our problems boil down to, is a lack of or just not listening. So that's what I think. So
that's a good point. I like that. Good talk, Mr. Turner. Good talk.
Yeah. So
good word.
Actually, my wife and I, we celebrated our 11-year anniversary on last Saturday, two Saturdays ago. So, and what I did was I bought, I don't know if y'all heard about it or not, but the 5 love languages.
I got that book.
You got that
book? Yeah, I got that book. Yeah.
It is great stuff. And we're actually reading it together. We take a chapter a week, and the chapter's like 5 pages. I mean, so you can read it in like 5 minutes. I mean, it ain't that hard. So really thin, but what it did was it neutralized our communication. Because when we were communicating, it was about, you know, the kids or about something I didn't do or something she didn't do, whereas you take the book and you read the chapter and you discuss, you know, the chapter in the book. And they have a little exercise at the end of the chapter. But it's very interesting because once I figured out my love language and my wife's love language, I was like, man, no wonder we've been having problems. You know, I'm doing all these things that I would like for her to do for me. You know, quality time, you know, all that good stuff. But that's my love language, quality time. Mm-hmm. But hers is acts of service. So she's like, I don't care, you know, as much about the quality time as I do about you cleaning the garage, you know, or keeping the basement picked up, keeping the toys picked up in the basement. So that's how she responds to me, is that if I don't do that, then she's, oh, well, he don't love me. He didn't clean up the garage like I told him to. I've been telling him all summer. So the other night, I just cleaned up the garage. And she was just so happy because, you know, she'd been telling me for months, and I just cleaned it up. But once I realized that I had to do these things to get her to respond, I was like, man, it was just such a revelation. And, I mean, the book did that for me. And the reality is that it helped us, you know, and like I say, the communication is better, and now I know that I need to do things around the house for her to be happy. You know,
so you're going
to
clean the whole house tonight, huh?
I keep it tidy. I keep it more tidy because I know, you know, that's what she wants. But another thing, like the bathroom, she likes the bathroom clean.
Right.
And I clean it occasionally, but I'm like, it's just our stuff. It's cool, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, it is
right.
What it is. Ain't nobody coming over, whatever. So I don't clean the bathroom, but when I do, she comes behind me and is like, oh, so you missed a spot. Oh, there's a piece of hair over here. Oh, I see you shaved and you got stuff all over the sink. So she's coming through with the white glove, like literally inspecting, and then she's criticizing me. Even though I clean the whole bathroom, it's like, oh, you missed one spot in the corner. You know, so I told her, and she realized that she can't do that because my love language, my second one is words of affirmation. Like, you got to give me some encouragement. You got to say, thank you for cleaning the bathroom. Don't criticize and say, man, that bathroom don't even look
clean. That should be a good
topic,
too, Rod, because I mentioned that to my wife. I say, don't criticize me, encourage me. Sometimes we need that data boy once in a while.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That strokes your ego. That gives you some incentive. But if you criticizing all the time, you be like, oh, damn if I do, or damn if I don't.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to clean this whole bathroom. I really don't want to,
but I'm going to clean it, and you still going to come past. If I got one thing out of it, then the whole thing is done.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's a good point, Rod. I like that.
Yeah, but get the book. I would suggest getting the book. It's really
easy
to read, and it gives you something to talk about other than the things of the day, you know, which can get stale.
Yeah.
You know? So we just take, you know, on Monday nights, you know, we sit down and go through the chapter, do the questions. And it only takes, you know, about 15, 30 minutes. And then we sit down and watch TV. But then, as I said, that's almost like foreplay because we had some healthy dialogue. It wasn't, you know, you didn't do this, you messed up again, you know, or she didn't do something. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, what do you think about this situation in the book? And we talk about it and we close and we say, oh, well, I'll see you next Monday. So, I mean, it's good stuff, and that's what, you know, that's what we try to promote, so.
Well, that's just up.
Yeah. But anything else, fellas? Anything else? Good show. I thought of, you know, excellent show, Dating Outside of Your Race. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I enjoyed it. So, tune in next week, be at the same time. So, y'all got anything else? Anything going once, going twice? So, all right, fellas.
All right, have a good night.
Y'all have a good night, good week. Talk to y'all next week. All right,
all right.
All right,
later, Mike.
Later.